We got Daryl joining us today. Bill's not going to be here.
Oh, no.
He's in Florida.
Ah, nice. Good place to be. I guess on a vacation.
Yeah. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Sounds like you're frying bacon.
It's not me.
No, that's me.
Oh.
Sheesh.
That's Claire opening a package.
Are you getting ready to fry some bacon? What were you opening?
No, she's opening gummies.
Oh. So how are you all doing?
Cool.
Doing all right.
Did you, get it? I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm tired. Damn.
I'll be one of those shows. Huh?
It's one of those podcasting professional things. I've been having internet go out, too, so...
What, storm last night?
No, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I lose mine today.
Campbell lost it last time, but he was unplugging the machine. That's what's happening to mine, except I'm not unplugging it.
Because he don't know what the hell he's doing when he drank 3 beers.
Yeah.
I have a big windstorm. There's no, like, rain or anything. It's just, it's really, really windy outside.
I heard you've been getting a lot of rain.
We have. It's the start of our monsoon season.
And Daryl, do you have snow?
No, we got rain last night and it passed. I mean, it was real bad and storms and all that kind of crappy stuff.
Because I was on with Chris and he said he had a lot of snow. But he's Buffalo, New York. Near there.
They always get snow. And that's all the time.
So Bill's off in Florida. He's not going to make it.
What?
I thought that he was going to show up because he IM'd me. He's like, you're reading Stray Bullets? He's like, maybe I should read it. And so I thought he was coming, but then he said, no, I'm not here.
Oh. He should be punished.
Yeah, he's on vacation. People take vacations.
That's crazy talk.
And they don't go to cons. I don't understand that.
I don't know what the purpose of that is. What is the purpose of this vacation thing? If you're not going to a con, to go drinking with people.
Maybe to see the sun.
The what?
The sun.
Is that that thing that Barb keeps messaging all the time on her Facebook about the thing?
Yes.
Those things outside?
It's in space.
Well, you posted some nature yesterday.
I only posted how dangerous nature is. You should not be in nature. That's what my warning was, to get out of nature and go into the Dome City.
You hate nature. I'd love to go camping with you.
Oh, Daryl would not be a happy camper.
Because I don't like it either, but I'm nowhere near as bad as you.
Oh, Daryl would not be a happy
camper. So I'd look like a professional.
You would look like you would look like you were Tarzan born in the jungle.
A crocodile hunter or something like that.
Yeah.
Crocodile Dundee.
You might even see me cry a little bit.
You never had, like, camping trips as a kid?
I went on a camping. As a teenager, I went on a camping trip twice.
Hated it?
Hated every last minute of it.
Like tent camping?
We stayed in, we did the sleeping bags, but we stayed in this Jason Friday the 13th looking cabin. It had nothing. It had no electricity, nothing. It was just a box with a roof on it.
It was horrible. Where's the video games or what?
It was horrible. That was before smartphones, too, so there was no internet or nothing. So,
well, I'm sure there's no internet or reception in most places you go camping.
I'm black. I'm not going anywhere. There's no internet or phone reception.
Michael likes to camp.
I'd like to camp.
You go to places where there's no signals, they kill you.
The only thing strange with him is he's so afraid of mosquitoes that, like, it could be like 95 degrees and he's got a sweatshirt on. I'm like, what the hell?
I don't like getting bit by bugs.
It's like hot yoga, man. That's what it's like in North Carolina.
Mm-mm, it's too hot. I don't like bugs.
Barb's been doing like that bugs. Hot yoga, and I'm like, she's telling me about it.
Mm-mm.
And I would never do it because I hate being hot. Like it's
Mike. We sweat for it for a living. When we go outside, we sweat naturally. We don't.
I don't want to be forced to sweat.
Exactly.
It's not a problem for me, really.
We go to a con and we walk around. That's sweating in itself. We do that already.
That's exercise.
That's exercise. That's sweat.
It's only exercise that I don't get tired. Yeah. My feet get tired at the end of the day, but I don't notice it during the day.
Well, that's even if I
that's can feel it. That's because of the adrenaline.
I don't even know if I can feel mine sometimes if it's there. That's fine.
So what you all been reading? I know me and Daryl read something that we could talk about.
What did you read?
We read the new Iron Patriot.
Yeah.
That we love so much.
I did not.
It was Alex Cott, which Daryl doesn't like any. I mean, I have never heard you speak good about.
I've never read anything from him that I like so far. I've read Zero. I read his Secret Avengers. I read he did another one, Changes.
I read Changes. What is that?
That was an Image book. Yeah, it was early Image. This is early stuff that he did. It was some early before Zero came out.
I like Zero. I like it a lot.
What else did I read?
But I'll agree with you on I think me and you already talked about Secret Avengers.
He's a copycat writer. I notice now. I see a pattern. He copies the writing. He copies writing styles.
Maybe he's had the same though writing style. Maybe that's his style.
No, he didn't write. He didn't write Zero that way. He didn't write Changes that way.
I thought Zero was kind of similar to that.
Not as Hawkeye-ish as. Did you read the Secret Avengers-ish one?
Yeah, with me and you talked about it.
Yeah, it was completely a copycat of Hawkeye. I mean, down to the even telling the artist to put the little faces when they get into a naked scene, to put the little faces on the naughty spots.
Ah.
Even down to that. Like, and then the whole thing of Hawkeye, I wasn't even supposed to be here today. Like, I'm not even supposed to be here. Like,
that's that a whole, Clerks. Maybe he likes Clerks.
But it was already done in Hawkeye.
I mean, I'm sure it's done a lot of places, maybe.
Which got me is that it's so blatantly a ripoff of Hawkeye. But when
they have a lot of books that are
when
like
they
that.
Asked
like
him,
Superior
not really.
Foes of Spider-Man, very
which
similar.
Nick Spencer.
I mean, yeah. I don't know, because I'm not reading them, but is it like a house thing they're doing now? It's like this is the style of writing we're going to do for
these
types of books.
I think it's a style of writing and a style of art. It almost looks like a Gotham City Central artwork.
It seems to be turning into something that was successful. Let's just keep doing all the books. Let's do that with all the.
I was wondering if, like, for this Marvel, for like the waves of Marvel Now stuff that they continue to do, I wonder if they're going to do them like that.
I hope not, because then why would you want all the books to look the same? To be the
maybe
same?
Not all the books, but like all the books have a certain wave and see how that works out, and then you do another wave.
I don't know. I hope they don't. Yeah, Hawkeye is Hawkeye. Like Hawkeye was a happy accident. Nobody knew that it was going to do at least well enough that they could keep doing it. Like he took a chance on Hawkeye having a book like that. That basically nothing. It's like
it's easy to take a chance on a book that fails every time, though.
Yeah, Hawkeye. Yeah.
I mean, there's no proven history of success. No, so
Hawkeye
just
has failed
every time.
Single time it was done. Jim McCann did Hawkeye he did about 3 or 4 different incarnations back to back of Hawkeye.
And they weren't bad. They weren't bad,
but they did not sell at all.
They didn't sell.
It was just me buying them, maybe you.
And all I'm saying is that War Machine is very similar.
Well, they already did. Nick Spencer did the same thing with the war. You came in at the end, and if you didn't read the beginning, because Nick Spencer was the writer in the beginning of that. It wasn't Greg Pak at first. It was Nick Spencer.
No, it was Greg Pak.
No, it was Nick Spencer.
No. You're talking about War Machine Volume 2?
No, I'm talking about War Machine. Yeah, War Machine Volume 2.
Machine Volume 2.
No, Greg, it makes sense.
You want to make
like
a bet?
See. It's like a thing.
Go look it up. It's Greg Pak and Leonardo Manco, which I really like. I have my database right in front of me.
I have the original War Machine.
The original War Machine I didn't read. I read U.S. War Machine, which is Chuck Austin, the black and white one.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But that one was...
Oh, what that? You know what it is? It's Volume 3 then. Volume 2 is right after... it was after that Dark Reign thing.
What was it called, though? Was it called U.S. War Machine?
It might have been. It might have switched the name of it to that. But it, I know it was launched with... I know it was Nick Spencer and something. Like Nick. And basically it was... They gave him a new suit. Like Tony Stark in the beginning gave him a totally new suit. And the problem with the suit was... It only lasted 2 hours. The power cells for the suit only lasted 2 hours. So whatever he did, he had to do it. It had to be quick. You know, when he got in a battle, it had to be very quick. It ended during Fear Itself. That was when the book ended.
I thought that was Greg Pak's because that was when he had the satellite and he was more machine than...
You know what it was? It was Iron Man 2.0. That's what they renamed.
Oh, that's why I missed it. Yeah.
I didn't
read that.
It was Nick Spencer and it was supposed to be Barry Kitson, but something happened and he couldn't get on the book. He's scheduling or something. So they had another artist that was close to how the artist on this book was, and the book plummeted.
God, I did read it, and I don't remember it. That's
because it took all. Yeah, it had no
sign for me.
No, it had no action in it. Barely.
This is the last fucking one, and it was in 2011. I don't remember it. See? I remember the Greg Pak because that's when Norman Osborn kind of made him more machine than man, and he was like in the satellite. And, you know,
right? Yeah, that was good. That was pretty good.
That I liked a lot. Plus. Manco's like painted art style. I thought it really worked with the book.
See, that's why we were going at it about a book that we were going at the wrong book. I'm thinking it was Iron Man.
I'm talking about a book, and I'm like, "What are you talking about, Nick Spencer?"
We're talking about two different series.
I almost want to go pull my old box and see what the fuck this is because I don't remember it.
I would urge you to read it and you will see exactly what I'm talking about when you read that and what you're reading right now because it's basically a lot of the same thing. Same tone,
but then
same art style.
Consistent then.
But it wasn't...
Same art style?
Barry same type of art style. I mean, it had Kano was in it.
Kano has a similar art style. Barry Kitson, though...
No, Barry Kitson never came on the book. He couldn't get on the book. They changed the artists.
And then it had Oliveri, who has a very painted art style.
He came at the end. He came at the Fear Itself arc, which pretty much ended the book.
Pretty much the majority of it was Oliveri. The Kitson was 1-3. I mean, the...
Kano was... it was the Palmer Adley story. Is dead storyline was the beginning.
Who was Adley?
Palmer Adley. It was
that's starting to come back. Thank you. I remember that was the guy. Yeah,
it was some weird story, and she did bombs. The person made bombs and stuff, and they were trying to figure out who the person
was. That was the terrorist story arc thing.
It was a terrorist story arc, and pretty much it was the same deal of taking the War Machine out of the character, like to get away from war and all that type of stuff. It was kind of on that tone.
Well, it's because they don't want him called War Machine.
And it was trying to be very introspective and all of that, and it was not received well at all. So this would makes me wonder, why would you redo the same thing if it failed recently? Like, it wasn't even that long ago.
I don't remember this, but I do remember... I do remember the part that you said the terrorists and there were.
You remember when this book came out?
Shit all over the world, and he was trying to defeat the terrorists.
Yeah, this book came out in 2011.
That's pretty recent. Yeah.
That's pretty recent. So why repeat the same thing all over again if it failed the first time?
Well, you don't know if they're repeating the same thing.
So far, it's the same type of tone.
Art style, maybe, but...
Art style and tone. Most of that book is him talking to his father.
What's wrong with that? It's building character.
It's not that it's wrong. It's just to come out the gate with that type of story when you're thinking about Iron Patriot and to get people to want to read the book, you come out the gate with a very slow story. I'm telling you, Mike, you love it. But
I like the character stuff.
But I'm telling you that you will lose readers immediately.
Well, I lose readers immediately anyway. That's what I'm
saying. Well, yeah, but if it had a little bing to it, it might.
You can't fucking sell it under Iron Man 2.0, like, then it's not going to work as Iron Patriot.
But that was the trick, too. They tried to trick him into buying it, too. They did it in Iron Man 2.0. And now it's supposed to trick retailers into ordering it because it's Iron Man. And you look at the cover, and the cover was nice. Like, it had a nice cover of Iron Man in the suit.
The cover.
And then you open the book and you go, "What? I'm already falling asleep after the first couple of pages." Okay, I'm done. So I don't know why they did that. Then they add the Jeremy Irons story. They make a niece who has the goggles on. That's like, I remember the first time I saw
Natasha Steele.
Yeah. Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Does she have lightning powers?
She's just in there taking apart the armor.
His sister died. So he's talking to, the father is talking to him about, you need to own up and spend more time with your niece because she is withdrawing from people. She's into machines more than she is into people. She doesn't talk to adults. She doesn't talk to children her own age. And I'm like, Natasha? And then you see her, and she has the goggles on her head and little braids coming out the back. And she's sitting there all happy looking at the machine. She took apart little pieces of the armor, and she's all happy asking him questions about it. And I'm like, is Steel going to come through the door? Like, and then I wanted to ask Alice Cott, do you know which black person you're writing? Like,
no.
Did you mix up your black people?
The black dude in a robot suit. It's the same guy. It's cool. Exactly. Whatever.
Well, did his sister die in Iron Man 2.0?
I think she did die during that time or something. Something happened. One of the field.
She died. Who knows?
Maybe. It wasn't something they really a main story.
No one cared. Maybe she never died. Maybe she died right now.
And it's and then you don't mention Cap. I don't even know why they didn't mention Captain Marvel. Like, why put it in the other book and you don't mention it in this one?
Well, I don't even know where that came from. Did you ever find out where it came from?
It's just in that book. That was just something.
No, wait. No, you can't tell me it just came in Captain Marvel.
I'm telling you, it's only in Captain Marvel.
No fucking way. I don't believe you.
I read Secret Avengers. What book could it be in? I read Secret Avengers. I read Captain Marvel. I read Mighty Avengers. I read Avengers World. I read Avengers and New Avengers. There is no mention in any of those issues.
Had to be in Captain Marvel.
Nope.
Nothing. There's no Rhodey.
She's not dating anybody. There was the guy that was hating on, you know, kind of like was a hater. He was in the book before. Huh. But not Rhodey. He was in the book and he liked her. But then she lost her memory and all that kind of shit.
That's shitty writing, because it made it sound like in Captain Marvel, like, they were together for a while. Like,
and it wasn't the case. They should have had something telling you that time had passed.
Like, maybe a couple months. Are you sure you want to go into space?
Right. Like, a couple of months had passed or something. Like, we're just getting stuck. Like,
our relationship is getting deeper and deeper, and you're going to go into space?
What
you need to do, woman.
Yeah, so that was the... But none of that stuff was in it. And then the Natasha thing comes up, and she has the... I'm waiting for the hammer, and then she's talking. And I'm like, are they... Then they do a whole story of... He's basically almost like he's atoning for all the things he's done previously. Like,
no, he's like, just, I'm not he gonna, just feels I'm guilty
not
about
around the world. I'm not like there are the atrocities that have been done, and he's not going to add to the war. You know, he's not going to add to.
It's just like Superman saying, "Hey, I'm gonna help."
I'm only going to do search and rescue from now on in the United States. That's basically what he said in a press conference. He said it. All I was waiting for was some drug dealers to have the armor in a car, and he finds out that the drug dealers are using tech from his suit, and
yep.
then he yells out loud, "I have to stop this! I will dedicate my life to stopping this, the war, all us and the kids." And
he puts
a cape on.
Do it for the kids.
And he's gonna put a cape on, and he's gonna.
It's not that bad. You make it sound like crap.
People read it. I want you to read it and you tell me. Hold on, wait.
So I just read Captain Marvel just now.
Uh-huh.
Captain Marvel number one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're telling me that nothing in Iron Patriot is, like, she's not anywhere in Iron Patriot
not
at all.
Not a mention. In fact, the father says...
Not a little bloop on the side.
In fact, his father says, you know what? You have been so... you've been concentrating so much on being Iron Patriot.
You can't focus on family.
That you have no life. Like, you basically have no... You were trying to get some before you went to space. And I was waiting for him to say, and you've been neglecting your girlfriend or something. You know, something. Give me something. Nothing.
I'm going to... I just can't believe this.
I call foul.
It had to be somewhere. It can't have just happened like that.
It did, Mike. You just don't want... You always want
to... No, I just can't believe the continuity would be that fucked up. They had a relationship and they didn't even build it. Like, they didn't even, like, introduce themselves. They were... All of a sudden, they were banging and then I'm going into space.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
Mike,
I gotta prove you wrong.
Mike, you are a committed man. You've been in a relationship all of your life. You're in love and committed to the same woman that you did since high school.
What does that have to do with Captain Marvel?
You just can't accept that sometimes there's a man and a woman, they hook up really quickly. And then they break up really fast.
Really quickly. Like four pages.
They were hanging out at Avengers, you know, hanging out in the helicarrier, and, you know, one said to the other, "You want to get some coffee?" And the other one's like, "All right, yeah, let's do that." And they got a little nicey-nicey, and they did a little something-something, and then, all right, let's hang out for a little bit. And then she said, "I want to go into space." And then he said,
"And you read all the issues of Captain Marvel,
all of them, crossover and all." Because remember, it ended with the cross. It crossed over into the other Avengers books. It crossed over to the Mighty, and because she had to fight that last villain, that her arch nemesis, and she lost her memory. She had to give up a portion of her memory for the last like year or so, and that's why her and Spider-Woman are not friends anymore. Because she doesn't remember that time. She lost those memories.
I didn't know you read Captain Marvel. You never said shit about that. What do you mean you read it all?
I read it. I'm an Avengers guy. I read all the stuff that's connected to Avengers. That's what
just the entire movie universe.
I do. I love it. I told you I loved Avengers.
And she got the goggles, and she's fucking Natasha. My God.
I'm not going to disagree with that. When I was reading that, it felt like I was reading Steel.
Told you.
Especially because I just read Steel, like, what was it, a few months ago? I read the entire thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, that's a thing.
Now, if he fights a woman who is known as a weapons master or something, and then I'm like, you know what? I think
he's going to get the drugs off the street. His little nephew is trying to join a gang.
You're calling foul or what?
I'm telling DC to sue. I'm telling you, he's messing up their Marvel's messing up their black people. They don't know who they're writing anymore.
There's only three. It's okay. They'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, it's only three. They'll just throw the jumbles up again and then they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out.
You give me back Jim Rhodes, you take Steel, and we're
fine.
There's
Storm, there's Black Guy in a robot suit.
Yeah.
And Static. We like Static because he had a TV
show.
There
you go. You take that. But I was very disappointed. I didn't expect good. I didn't expect it to be good because the way he was talking about it in an interview when I read it.
You don't like that guy.
I was already.
And you interviewed him.
I went on that interview.
Oh, you
that
were?
Was, that was Chris and that was all, Tom.
Is that why you're bitter?
I went on it. No, I didn't want to be on it.
You didn't want to be on it? You're like, I don't like anything this guy does. I don't like that guy. I have no questions.
Yeah, there's no mention of Phil. Not even a, you know, not even word.
No, he is. You know what? What irks me a little bit about his writing. He is somebody that comes from another country, comes here, and his writing is so one-dimensional in terms of war is so terrible, it's so bad, and anything that the military does, especially the United States, is just evil.
Maybe he read Marvel's comics from the 60s and thought that's what it was like.
Well, comics. He did an interview. He did a word balloon, and he was talking about all that stuff. Like, if James Bond, he would basically make James Bond feel guilty.
Well, that sounds like Zero, and then like I guess get that with this because it's War Machine saying, "I ain't gonna do it anymore."
Right? Like he's saying that James Bond running out there and doing all the fighting all the bad guys, like he should be remorseful for all that stuff. Like he's part of the problem. If he was writing it, he would have wrote him as being, apologetic about all that stuff.
But James Bond is, like, remotely apologetic about collateral damage and stuff, at least. Like,
not enough for him, I guess.
Like in Skyfall, he was all beat up about, like, the things that happened because...
He's always beat up. He's always been betrayed by his country. Like, he quit three different James Bonds. Five different James Bonds, he quit.
They blew up his wife. He was sad about it.
He said, you use this as collateral damage. You know, like, I'm done. He's done that many times. But see, but he talked about that, like, I don't think he ever... I don't even think he watched more than maybe one episode, one movie of... But it's just so one-sided. Like,
He got to fight some oil rig monsters.
Yeah,
some big brown things, little like Clayface.
He fought it. He didn't fight it. He shot through them, and then his suit got turned off. And then
probably because Natasha or Rhodes.
She forgot
to put the batteries back in.
They should drug a thing.
What the fuck was that? She took out all the parts.
I want to see a picture of Steel flying across the ocean holding a battery pack going, hey, hey.
I'll teach you to take my niece.
That's the difference between the two. This one apparently doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. And Steel's niece is awesome. Yeah, although they turned her into kind of like a mutant in that one series Infinity Inc.
Peter Milligan, it got weird.
They should not do that.
It got really weird after that.
Well, those are all the people that took Lex Luthor drugs.
Yeah. They all.
It was from 52. Yeah. It came out of 52. Yeah.
52, and what was the one after that? Weren't they a part of Countdown?
Countdown. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Countdown as
they
well.
They were part of Countdown too, I think.
Yeah, more bad stuff that came out of Countdown.
52. I need to I'll reread that sometime soon. I like that book.
52 was good.
All of its flaws.
52 is awesome. I enjoyed it so much.
I even like Countdown for the most part.
I thought Countdown got out of hand really fast.
Trinity, the Trinity one is the one that I kind of lost.
I never read it.
Started well.
Oh, the Trinity one started off awesome. Like I swear, the first 12 issues, I was really into it, and then it just
got lost its way.
It actually ties in the pirate.
Freaking momentum, and then McDaniel stopped drawing faces, and
sometimes you're out of time. You get no more time for faces.
Yeah,
that is one of my pet peeves, and I don't. It seems like more and more comics are cheating on the faces.
They did that in this book.
They had a picture with the niece, right? Or it was somebody walking.
They did a picture with the niece that had no face.
What is it? Is everybody the question now? What the fuck?
I don't know.
Like, in a big crowd, if you're crushed for time, I understand, and I'm kind of okay with, like, not everybody in the crowd. They all can't be Joyce Perez, right? Everybody can't be Joyce Perez. Everyone can't draw 9,000 faces in a crowd, have them all be different faces in every page of a book for, like, 3 years in a row, right? I understand. But they're doing it with, like, foreground characters now, and it really weirds me out.
Yeah,
that bothers me, because who do you focus on? Well, I focused on her walking into the room.
Focused on her being,
you know, she's
her name Montoya.
She's saying something.
Because, you know, it's the this is, we're talking about, this is a guy that wears armor and fights crime. That, if you did this, like, that type of art works for a crime noir. If you do a certain crime noir type of book, then yes, you could do that. Like, that's where that stuff comes from. But you can't just throw it in for everything. It doesn't work for everything. It's just really lazy. When they pick artists, it's just, sometimes when they pick artists, first of all, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because if you put people on the book that are not going to not going to excite a number of people to even try the book, and then you do it and it comes out and it doesn't sell well, then you go, see, every time we put a book out, it doesn't sell well. But they don't take into effect. If you put people on it that are not going to attract an audience, of course it didn't sell well.
Maybe, and also if you can't get a writer and artist that work well together, and if their styles don't mesh, and they don't mesh particularly for the book they're doing, like, all those things.
Seth liked the art. I thought it was good.
All the cool stuff they could have did, him being on S.H.I.E.L.D. and working with the group, all that kind of stuff that would get people to want to check it out. Like, they watch the movie and stuff, and they're like, you know, hey, he's out there, you know, fighting terrorists in Iron Man 3. Well, at least in a couple of scenes that he was in.
It's pretty fucking awesome. He's fucking in the water, putting out iron bots to detect if New Orleans is going to fall into the ocean.
Okay, Mike, that's how you celebrate.
That's how I felt. He was under.
He put crabs in the water. You know
he
what?
He put iron crabs. They were iron crabs.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to shoot my crabs. I'm a big fan of iron crabs.
Yeah, I love.
They were chiggers. They're iron
chiggers. Oh, no, chickens are terrifying.
If you write down what War Machine did, or Iron Patriot, he shot crabs and the rocks.
He shot crabs underneath New Orleans to find out if it was sinking, and it alerted him. And then it came back later on that it was getting alarms in Mexico near New Orleans that it was something was going on through his little crabs. And then he goes out there and fights some oil monsters. What's wrong with that?
Exciting. He didn't. It was barely a fight. When you say,
he did blast through one of them. He put a hole into one of the monsters.
Right.
And then
it had no effect. Oh, wait a minute. My suit's not working no more.
No, he took. It looked like he took one out because it fell into the water, and then all of a sudden his battery died. And I wonder if it was because of what she was doing with the armor, or if it was the other plot line with that. Creepy ass senator. Yeah.
Which they did also. They did the creepy senator storyline, like creepy politicians in the Nick Spencer book. They did that then too. So they're
consistent.
Yeah. Consistently, how your book is going to fail. I'm going to do the same thing that failed in the first book about 2 years ago.
They've all failed except for that.
Everything
first,
fails.
Except for that first vault.
Everything fails, but you don't dump it right away.
So hold on. At least speaking try. Of the first volume.
Maybe all the first volume fans will buy this.
Because well, the first volume was 90s, and that, so of like, course, it did well.
So he goes, but in the first volume, he goes to Africa in some random little country and screws everything up, and everything gets all blowed up and stuff, right? And Deathlock comes and says hello and says, you got to stop being stupid, and they fight wars, right? Because black people, right?
Well, he started killing, too. That was a big thing. Like, he took a life, and he was like, this is the way it has to be. I can't do it like Tony Stark would do it.
But then he stops. But then at the end of it, he stops.
Right.
Because he's like, I can't do that anymore, right?
Right. Too much
trouble. And he was kind of done with the whole, like, global war force. And so does that count? Is that all gone now? Like, is that no longer part of, like, his backstory?
They just don't mention it. Marvel doesn't discount that stuff. It just says they just don't mention it. That's their way of dealing with it. They just don't mention it.
Yeah, but even...
It's like this turn seems something like, wouldn't you have learned your lesson?
Like, he lost the suit. He gave up...
Literally started a war.
He gave up the suit, and then he got an alien suit later. Like, he gave up the War Machine suit. It blew it up. And then he got, towards the end of his run, he was fighting these things, and he got an alien bio suit. Basically, it was, you know, that was the way of having him have a suit without having to be around Tony Stark.
Right.
Because the suit pretty much fixed itself. He didn't have to worry about it being he's not a scientist. So that's the hard part when you have armor. He knows nothing about, you know, working on armor and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
But even then they had this artist I've never heard of on it, Gabriel Gecko. Who's that? I don't remember that.
War Machine one?
Yeah.
It was the 90s. It didn't matter.
It was the 90s.
Well, it's written by Len Kamis.
It sold 5 billion copies because it was the 90s. They were just like, whatever, dude.
Well, it did have a cool issue one cover. It was like...
The black and silver.
Yeah, silver.
Oh, I loved it.
It came out 3D kind of thing.
Yeah. I had like 2-3 copies of that shit, too. I was part of the problem. Greco did a lot of Iron Man previously. That's what he's done. He did a lot of Batman. He did a lot of Iron Man during the Iron Man just before Forceworks, I think, like around that time when Tony Stark was paralyzed and shit, when he had that ugly armor where it had knee pads on it.
I think it was recently Forceworks.
Yeah, it had.
I never read that.
He did Ultraverse. You should have seen his stuff. He did Ultraverse. He did Firearm. And Mantra.
Ooh, but no, I don't remember fondly of his work.
Oh, he did Lord Plumpkin. Pumpkin. So, it was what it was. But I remember enjoying the first year of it, and then it went off the rails. I remember that. I mean, he had his own business because Tony Stark had left him.
Actually, what this says is it got better. It said as soon as Abnett came on, they added more substance to the storyline.
Abnett was in War Machine?
Yeah, the first volume.
He wrote it? I mean, I read the entire run. I just didn't remember who. I didn't check to see who was writing it.
Yeah, it was so many writers on it. Abnett and Lanning was on it, actually.
No, I don't think Lanning was.
Yeah, he's listed. He's listed. He's on it. He was on it. Abnett and Lanning. Actually, it was in the trade. If you get the Iron Man War Machine Hands of the Mandarin trade,
it's in that. But that wasn't in this, right? That wasn't reprinting.
It was the crossover between the War Machine book and the Invincible Iron Man book. That's what it was. They had a thing of one of the many times that the Mandarin came back. It was I think it was when they took away. If I remember right, it was when the Mandarin took away all technology. Like he created a magical amp field, and it kept all electronics out, and everything was like in the Dark Ages again. And him and Forceworks had to band together.
Oh my God! I gotta show you this. The War Machine armor, though, when Abnett was doing it, it's terrible.
The alien
one? Oh God, it's horrible.
Yes, I told you.
These covers are so 90s, man.
I told you.
But I don't see Lanning on it. It just says Abnett. Even on the credit, it just said Abnett. On all of them.
He's listed on the trade, the Iron Man War Machine Hands of the Mandarin trade.
I even thought, maybe, because one of them's an inker too. I thought maybe I'd see his credit in the inker, and he's not.
No, they're credited here as authors. It's Scott Benson.
Maybe he did the Iron Man ones, and that's why I'm not seeing.
Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe you said it was a crossover. So,
yeah, it was a crossover.
So maybe he was in the Iron Man at this time, and God, these covers are bad. I gotta buy this series.
That is Mike. I love Mike. He's like, it's powerful.
These covers are terrible.
I have never ever seen this Iron Man armor. I mean, this it's like this alien. I don't even know how to describe it. It looks like he's got this. Oh God, I gotta post this on the episode.
I have been there. I've been there for all of it. So when I talk about how bad I think this book,
look at War Machine cover number 19. If you can see that, it has it's got a California cover.
You'd be surprised.
The armor is terrible.
Worked on it.
Well, oh, California damn. Might have done the cover.
Abnett.
I have forgot.
1995.
Did you see it, Micah?
Yeah, I did.
It did you read that?
Yeah, I remember reading it. I clearly blocked out everything after.
If you remember right, this was happening around the same time that Guy Gardner lost his ring and got infected.
Oh, goodness. With
that, his heritage. He learned about his heritage.
It is interesting that comics often go through like these similar sorts of like things.
Yeah.
Like it gets in the ether. And then,
he looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle in an armor. Like
armor. That's what it does look like. It looks like some kind of thing. It looks like something you'd see them fighting the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I love the cover to number 18. That's a great cover. That makes me want to buy that book. It has Rhodey there fishing and a big monster over his head.
Those are really big boots, man.
It's pretty bad.
Them boots go all the way up to...
This is when I stopped collecting Marvel, because they had that thing that's still a $1.50, and then they started to have that weird logo in the corner of the Avengers.
The big A, yeah.
Yeah, the big A, and that's when I stopped Avengers, I stopped everything. I don't have any of these issues.
I have all of it. Well, I had all of it until I sold it to drug dealers.
You call Donnie a drug dealer?
Yeah, he is a comic drug dealer. Donnie is a comic drug dealer. That's what he is. He's like Walter White. He has a secret stash.
I think I'm going to go look on the eBay for a full run of this now.
I know you're going to buy it. I've set you off. You
have to. I am going to go, and I'm going to read this first issue with this fucked up armor. Because I'm going to review it. I have to know this shit. How did he get into this piece of shit?
And we could talk about it on DC Noise.
Yeah.
The 90s happened.
While Keith goes, oh, Lord.
He's a deflector. That's his new... He's no Brown Arrow. He's the deflector. He's a
deflector. Yeah, he is.
On Twitter, he does it. He, like... Mike asked him, you know, M-Bat said, are you going to Heroes Con? And Keith goes, no. And you know what? He said, I blame Mike because he said he wasn't going to Heroes Con.
See?
No, he's shit.
He deflected.
Full of shit.
He deflected. Let me see. I knew he wasn't going to Heroes because he gets quiet when we mention it. Every time I mention it to you, Keith get real quiet. That's how I know. He ain't going.
I'm worried about Baltimore.
Mike goes into when Keith goes into Phantom mode, where he disappears, he goes into the back, he hides like he's in that bat mode. He goes into stealth armor where you don't hear Keith. That's when you know he ain't going. He ain't going.
Man, this looks great. This War Machine cover.
Mike, you are so addicted. You have to know. You are the question. Mike is the question of comics. So he has to know. He has to get the answers.
This is history, man.
He has to get the answers. He can't not
read this shit.
Not read it, yeah.
Well, I read another number one, and it was the Silver Surfer number one.
Damn it, I didn't get a chance to read it yet. I read the intro thing.
Spoil it for you, but
I don't care if it's not
actually very good.
It's not good?
I don't think so. If you like it, I'd be surprised.
I bought it for the art more than that.
It has the same shit that the story feels a lot like Hawkeye. Oh,
is he talking to his companion?
It's got these two twins that like focus on that I've never seen before that live on Earth. And somehow they have some kind of connection to Silver Surfer. I'd be interested to see what you, when you do read it, if you like it, because I didn't know what the fuck I was reading.
Well, I got it more for the art than I did for anything else.
I do like the art. I just wish the word bubbles weren't there. Just look at it as pretty art.
Yeah. I like She-Hulk has like 100 word bubbles.
I don't know if this art works for the Silver Surfer.
They all read?
Yeah.
I like that intro they did. The one they had in the worlds of like Avengers did that little that they came with that book that had little a couple of stories in each of the new books that were coming out.
Now snippet.
Oh yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's what it was. And it had him at a party. He took her to a a celebration in space. And these marauders came in, and then you find out that he can change from his human state. He can make himself look like the human NORAD, and he can switch back and forth.
That must have been something that wasn't in this book.
Oh, okay. Maybe they didn't.
Maybe it was original content to get you to read this book.
Yeah. You need to look at War Machine issue 9, volume 1, where it has because they have no electricity, they had to build this kills me. You have no electricity, so the armor has no power. So of course the armor is very heavy, right? So their idea of helping to fix that is to put more armor on top of the armor. And that's how they fight.
It almost looks like a football helmet.
It makes no sense whatsoever. I will have more.
Like a shogun helmet or
something. That's what it looks like.
That's what it is. That's what they do.
He looks
now. If he's already heavy, it's already heavy. How would you walk around and fight?
They put football armor, football shoulder pads on his armor.
I guess they wanted to have the armor for the appearance of like we have War Machine on our side, but like. God, it's so bad.
I gotta order a full run of this in Forceworks, man.
I had all of them Forceworks.
I gotta see what the fuck is happening.
I never read Forceworks, so I need to get on that too.
They based the Iron Man cartoon on the Forceworks.
I saw one episode of that. It was fucking horrible.
Yeah,
as a kid.
It was Iron Man had basically hired a team. He after the X-Force, the Avengers West Coast disbanded, he hired the team. He said, we're not going to F with you anymore. We're going to do our own thing. So Forceworks was bad. They were like, if we have to kill, we will kill. Because that's just how we are. After they had that fight with the Kree. So it was the Wasp. It was
Sentry.
Scarlet Witch. She was a Sentry.
Spider Woman.
Not the Jessica Jones Spider Woman, but
the other Secret
War Spider Woman.
Oh.
And somebody else was on the team, and then Jim Rhodes and all that, and then the cartoon right. they were all are pretty for bad Iron
too. Man. Oh, no. Yo, man.
That U.S. agent with that shield shit.
Yes, that's what it was. And they changed his suit. They took the mask off, and he had this stupid suit where his eyes were uncovered. The thing would come down. It was like and it would cover his nose, but not his whole face. Like his mouth and his. It was pretty bad.
This was Abnett and Lanning, though.
Yes, it was. Any writer could write badly.
I gotta check this out for myself. It might be the greatest thing ever. The covers don't look very good.
The title for Forceworks, like the font they use. And what is Spider-Woman doing on the cover of number one? Like, that anatomy
look
set.
Look at the suit. You can see. Look up Forceworks issue one and you'll see the face.
I love the cover to number 19. Where that girl, except her waist looks really bad.
Oh,
the costume looks pretty. They drew Mantis, who has that really sexy costume. But here's, I don't know what the fuck's going on with their hips. I just don't understand it.
Remember when Iron Man had the super gauntlets?
Oh, that he has. Look at cover 19.
Yes, that was during that he had those gauntlets those then, too.
Those fucking gauntlets are
huge. They were huge on him. Yes. They were freaking huge.
He has like tiny baby hands in comparison, but they're like claws. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It doesn't even look like he's bent over, right? Like,
Well, he's not.
I mean, the anatomy on this cover. Who drew this cover?
The anatomy on all the covers for this so far.
You know what? Look up issue 22 of War Machine. Do you see issue 22?
Yeah. That's not good.
Cover doesn't have a it doesn't have
Iron Man's face is like he doesn't even look like it's an Iron Man suit. It's like Iron Man's neck is attached to his chest instead of it.
Which one is this? What number?
22. It has War Machine in the alien suit. It says friends no more. And they're fighting.
Look at on the cover. Size of the thigh.
Look at
that. Holy shit.
And he had crabs all like, it looks like the War Machine suit had like crabs around the arm.
That's exactly what he, so he did do
alien.
See, yeah. He caught, did do his research. He had crabs come
out. He had crabs back then. Jim Rhodes has always he's had crabs.
Yes, now he used.
The problem history. With Jim Rhodes.
Jim Rhodes had crabs since 1995.
Man, this is bad. Like, this is bad.
It cries out, read me, is what it cries out.
It, yes, it that, does, Mike.
It says, I gotta find out.
That's exactly what it says. It says, read me, Mike. It says, buy me and read me. No one's gonna outbid you for this either. You have no problem getting that. No one's gonna outbid you.
I would be surprised if I could get it for the whole run for $10.
It cost you, it probably cost you more for shipping. Yeah, I think it would cost you more for shipping. Somebody would be like, wait, somebody wants to buy my Forceworks issues? Oh, shit. Forceworks is making a comeback. Put your stuff on.
Making a movie.
It's so bad. You're like a football player. You're like a freaking football player. In issue 10 of War Machine, he's like a football player. He's holding a guy up. He has the armor on him. And then he has the other armor on top of that armor.
Who's on the and cover of issue 4 of Forceworks?
Let me see if I can find it.
I love the Forceworks covers. They're really, I mean, that just shouts 90s.
It all of it, completely. It, completely. Let me see.
I have no idea who that is. I think that's probably one of their new villains.
I tell you, comics are awesome. Oh, Ember.
Oh, you know who that is?
Yeah. He was, trying to remember. He was somebody from, he was like a Doom. He was their version of Doom, I think. He took, yeah, some country that no one heard of. He was in charge of it, but he wanted to. Because what they had was...
See, they're on those as Marvel shit. Like, if it's Avengers, man, you got to ask him right away.
This is how it worked. They got a machine, like an AI. Tony Stark built an AI, and it worked like persons of interest. Like, the machine would find numbers, like threats that they need to attack. And they had Scarlet Witch shoot it with her hex powers. To give it the probability, so it would always find the probability of the worst threats that and they could go and attack before the damage happened. Like they were the preemptive team to go in and stop things instead of reacting to it. Like they didn't want to avenge things anymore; they wanted to stop it before it happened, and that's what the machine would do. But then there's something that went wrong with all that, little by little. Damn, the shit I remember. That doesn't matter.
It's first appearance of Ember, too. Got to be a collector's item.
It's pretty crazy. It is pretty crazy, man.
The other one I read that was number one from Marvel was Moon Knight, number one.
Yeah, I read that.
Warren too. Ellis and Delkin Shalvey. I liked it.
It starred Justin Timberlake as Moon Knight.
Yeah, it was. It's weird. I mean, it's different, but I liked it because it didn't like throw away everything else that happened before it.
No, it just said that all that stuff about him being crazy was.
Well, it's weird because they say he's got. Well, for one thing, I didn't know that they've scientifically changed the name for AD. I mean, for multiple personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing I learned from the book, so I learned something because I had to go Google it. I was like, why the fuck they changed the name for that? The word means fairly similar, dissociative something or another.
Yeah.
But the only part I didn't like is when they switched to before New York and then he's meeting that doctor and the doctor says, you don't have multiple personality disorder, and then it gets kind of wacky. But
yeah, you don't know what the deal is with her.
Oh, in real life, they changed the name because it's not real.
They changed what name?
Multiple personality disorder. Because there's no, like, scientifically speaking, there's no such
but
thing.
But they changed it to another thing that's not real either.
Well, no, because what happens with people who were when they would diagnose someone with multiple personality disorder, there's really just a dissociation thing, so their personality would be slightly different. But like people would took it to people misconstrued it as someone being two different people or whatever. And that's the thing that doesn't happen. Like, you
remember that book? What was that book? Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore? Is that the name of the book?
I think so.
And basically that they kind of, that was the thing that started this talk. Like, there was never a confirmed thing of saying that you have a totally different personality.
I saw Sybil. That was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Do you remember Sybil?
I remember Sybil. It was a big deal. But they don't consider that you, like, it's not like in a comic where, like, in the Bendis one, it had him turning into Iron Man, or no, he turned into Cap, and he turned into Wolverine.
Was he really turning into him? I thought he was talking to them.
No, he actually thought he was turning into each of those characters. He thought he was them. He even had fake claws on his hands when he turned into Wolverine, and then he had like a some type of rope that would shoot out of his gauntlet.
See, that's the part that interests me about the character, because it makes him different.
Right, but it doesn't. But that's not a real thing.
Like, no, I know, I know. But if it's all in your mind and you're switching personalities, I think that is like he has that Loxley, who's the driver, and you know, his mercenary personality, and he's always had the these different.
Yeah, he would play the different.
He would play the different roles.
But and people went crazy.
Frenchie, and now he doesn't even have Frenchie. He just has this pimp.
Well, writers
drives around, and then the cop is like, "Has that cop been around before?"
It got a bit out of hand.
I think what happened. So. Yeah, they went crazy with it. Like,
is the cop?
I'm trying to remember.
Because he sounded like they knew each other. The cop saying, "Hey, that's Moon Knight."
I don't know.
And he's going, really... "Don't call him Mr. Moon Knight. That's a vigilante. Call him Mr. Knight."
I really don't know. Like, I was sitting there reading it.
And then he started dancing like Justin Timberlake.
He did. He suit and tie came
like,
on.
I got a dick in the box. I got a dick in the box.
Suit and tie came on, and he really started going crazy. Jay-Z came out of nowhere, started rapping on it. Like, it just went so out of hand. Like, he turned to... It seemed like Warren Ellis said, "I don't want to write Moon Knight, so I'm going to change him into somebody else who I'm more interested in writing."
It is interesting, though. I do like it. Like, I even liked his moves, like when that one guy goes to punch him and he's like, it looks like he's doing a Timberlake move.
He dances away.
It's like he's dancing.
I'm going to dance over here. Then he's going to try to hit me over there. I'm going to dance over there. And he can deflect bullets now with his crescent darts. He can actually deflect bullets now. So I don't remember that ever being a thing he could do.
It's a weird character they introduced, too, because it started off like a realistic story. That he was coming to solve some kind of serial killer.
Right.
Then he goes into the sewer, and then you see S.H.I.E.L.D. logo. Like, there's this dude that used to work for S.H.I.E.L.D. that got blown up, and he's trying to reassemble himself. So he's cutting off people's limbs and stuff and attaching them to himself.
Because he was left to fend for himself by S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
He's angry.
He just wants to be a member again.
Right. It is so out there. I'm curious to see where it goes. But it's
did you like it, though? Did it entertain you? Because it entertained me.
Wasn't much to it. I mean, it really didn't have much to it. I mean, he did a thing, and he was in a limo. Then he got out the limo. Then
it's very different. It's very different. He didn't have driving him around.
It's not enough for me yet to see whether I like it.
He has this detective, I guess, who knows him. I've never seen this guy before.
He has his Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, it's like his Commissioner Gordon, and he's good at crawling down sewers and dancing in sewers to avoid. Did you guys ever see Dodgeball?
Yes.
The moves that he was doing reminded me of when they were fighting that like rap dance group with the dodging, and they were like dodging the ball and dancing at the same time. His moves reminded me of that, like in Dodgeball. They look weird.
It did look weird. It looked totally weird. I'm going to read two.
I like it. I need to know more than the other two, like Iron Patriot. Iron Patriot I enjoyed a lot. Like, But I know you're not going to continue, but I got to see.
No, I am, because that's the stupid idiot that I am.
Oh,
I
have to continue. Because Force Works, I can read Iron Patriot.
Because it's Jim Rhodes. I will have to finish it. I will read it and cry. I will read
all six issues until it's canceled.
Yes, that's what I have to do. Why do you think I know all this crap that doesn't matter to these characters? But I knew it because I read it. I read every issue that I hated. I read it because it was them, because it was Jim Rhodes. I could not read it. It could not be a Jim Rhodes book out and me not read it.
I'm lucky because the characters I like that much don't exist anymore, so it's cool. Like, I don't have to worry about trying to figure out what the hell Hardware is doing in the DC universe because he ain't there. So
yeah, that's true. He's not. They don't want to have to pay nobody. They won't use them.
I ordered Survive, number one, and I pre-ordered it because it. I hate when they fucking do this.
What is this?
It's a Marvel book called Survive. And the way it was solicited, if you read your previews, it has a fucking big-ass question mark, right? Like, they can't reveal the cover. And then it says, by Bendis and so. So I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I better read it because what if it's something important? Well, it turned out to be the Ultimate Universe shit.
Oh, yeah, because what they should have just said was they should have named it the aftermath of... They should have just named it Ultimate Universe
Aftermath. Or Cataclysm. Ultimate Cataclysm, Survive or something. Right.
Yeah, so instead of doing Survive. You know, it's
fucking related.
That is dirty pool.
It is dirty.
Survive number one is what they called it.
Yeah, it is dirty.
And all they solicited was Bendis and the artist. And I'm like, okay, well what is it? It didn't even give me an inkling that it was the Ultimate Universe, because I don't read the Ultimate Universe.
I do.
But
I used to.
I still do.
I mean, I could tell what was going on. It was the aftermath of the Galactus attack. And I guess one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents... Foggy seems like an asshole in this Ultimate Universe, because he's like trying to defend the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent because she's being accused by the United States of government of helping assist destroy the Earth was getting eaten by Galactus, and she's being blamed for it, that she didn't do her job to defend the country. And
that's what it is, a trial?
Well, it's him. I don't know if he's like her defender or if he's trying to tell her what's going on. It almost sounded like he was the prosecutor. Like, we're going to sue your ass, but it almost sounds like he wants to defend her, but it's hard to tell. The way he was attacking her, it sounded like he was going to put her on trial.
Right.
But it was a weird book. And they're dealing with the aftermath of the death of Captain America and Thor, and like the rebirth of the new team forming the Ultimates. Like, you know, Spider-Woman says, hey, we're forming this team to keep the legacy going on. And
and it's going to be Fantastic Four team, which is going to be Tony Stark, Visible Girl, Woman, Falcon, and I can't think of the other one. And somebody else is going to be in the team
too. It was weird too, though, because the last I heard on the FF, though, is that Reed had gone nuts and turned into a villain.
Oh, Reed went totally
fucked dark. Up his face. And
but that started off the whole thing.
It sounds like in this cataclysm.
Yeah, Ultimate Reed is the reason all this stuff is bad.
But Ultimate Reed.
Like, he redeemed himself. Like, kind of
he
like,
did.
Like Hal Jordan did when he was the Spectre or whatever, you know?
Yeah, he's like, I killed millions of people. He turned into the evolutionary, basically. Basically, like, to save the Earth, the planet, I have to kill at least 20 million people so that, because my estimates tell me that if you kill 20 million, that will preserve the Earth enough that, you know, that everything will be okay. And that was his thing. Like, I'm not really evil. It's just that there's certain things that have to be done in order for the world to survive. And but then he was beaten and all that kind of stuff. This happened a while ago. Like,
it does seem though like he was trying to say that he'd met the other Reed, like the
he did.
The read of our universe.
He met the children.
And he met the children, and he was trying to convince, you know, Invisible Woman to.
Well, it all started with Invisible Woman dumping him
again, because he's like, I've seen the other universe. Yeah. We need to have some babies. And she's like, fuck you, you crazy asshole.
Well, he turned bad because one Invisible Woman dumped him. And that set him off on a path of turning evil.
God, like comics are fucking great.
You know, that was the whole thing of him.
Insane.
And then he goes to Earth to pick up this machine. They needed a clue or some machine that Reed had, and Reed wasn't there. So he sees Valerie and I can't think of his name now. Their son. Franklin. Yeah. They're chilling with, like, having a family moment.
Valeria and Franklin.
Right. And he sits there and he just starts crying. Like, tears come down his eyes. He's like, because of what I've become, I lost all of this. Like, I could have had this if I had not went down that path. And then he went back to Earth. He sacrificed himself because to save Spider-Man, Miles Morales Spider-Man, so he can get back in time. And then he got back. And then he was like, I understand now what I did was wrong and what I lost because of what I did, that type of thing. So
sounds interesting. I mean, I just don't like the fact that I was led to believe it was something that what wasn't, you know, it wasn't even in the ultimate section. It was just in previews that said survive.
Right. It tricks you.
We can't disclose this, so I don't even know what universe it was.
Yeah, it tricks you.
Because I wouldn't have bought it, because I would, you know, I didn't buy the other Ultimate books, so.
And they knew that. They knew. But, and when stores order, to be fair,
the book was told well enough that even though I didn't read the books, I could follow the story like I knew what had happened. I knew that Galactus came and fucked up shit, and that this S.H.I.E.L.D. agent made some crazy ass decisions to bring Reed into the picture. And
Marvel and DC learned years ago that some retailers, when they order, they're either lazy or they're busy. So they learn to do certain things. Like if I have a Lois Lane book, I have to name it Spider-Man. I have to name it Superman - Lois Lane.
Well, there's nothing.
Because they will automatically, because they know.
That goes back to the Silver Age, though, too.
Yeah, and they automatically know you're going to, when you're marking up your tallies on what you're going to order, oh, Superman, boom. I got no time to be looking it up to see exactly what it is. I got shit to do. I got a store to run. So you'll order it automatically. So that's how they do it. But they know deep down you're not going to sell that many issues of Mary Jane, for example. If it was just a book of Mary Jane or Lois Lane, there are going to be some people that are going to buy it because they are fans of the character no matter what. But for the most part, people are not going to pick that book up like that.
Yeah.
They're just not going to do it.
That's what happens, though, with pre-orders. If they give you a blank cover, do you just gamble on it, or
yep.
I guess I'm not. I've learned they've conditioned me now not to chance it.
Well, you buy so much that when it's something you really don't want, you get really mad because you get so many copies of it. You get like a month's worth of copies of this thing. You're like, I'm still reading it because I still ordered it, but I hate it.
I don't need too much. I like most everything I read.
I know, so when you do see something you don't like.
The only thing I didn't like was, I think I talked about it with you on DC Noise, was that Sovereign. I hated that thing.
Oh, yeah. I didn't finish. I kind of skimmed through and then I stopped myself.
So, Micah, you got anything you want to mention?
The only thing I've read was, I reread Wednesday Comics, because felt like going through them again. So that was the newspaper weekly comic they did.
Mm-hmm.
God, when did they do that?
Ooh.
Oh, a long time ago.
A while back.
08, 09, something like that, maybe.
Damn.
It's forever ago. But like, I really like the idea. Thought it's really cool. Some of the stories don't hold up nearly as well. Like, some of them were bad before, and now reading them, like, outside of, like, reading them weekly, like, when you read them all at once, like, Superman and Green Lantern suck. Like, Odyssey. Superman was written by John Arcudi, and Lee Bermejo's art isn't bad.
It looks kind of boring
for the story.
Yeah, the story's not too great.
Yeah, and so, like, the art is just kind of eh when it goes with that story. And Green Lantern was like, boosh.
Yeah, that was a doozy.
Bad.
That was a doozy.
And there's a couple things that are confusing. I still don't know what happened in Teen Titans. Like, I don't know what the point of that story was. That one was really kind of eh.
And I think Batman, I stopped reading it, yeah.
And, like, Batman, right? Like, Azzarello's good, right? Like, I know him to be a good writer. And yet, like, the Batman story is just kind of, like, the most generic Batman story you could do. Like, Batman solves a crime very slowly. And you're just like, eh, you know. When you see what other writers and artists are doing with other new stories, you know, like, Paul Pope is out here, like, that story's really good.
I thought the Commandy one was really good, too.
Well, Ryan Sook is awesome, so.
It looked amazing. And
Dave Gibbons doesn't fuck it up, so it's really good.
I like the Metal Men, too.
It's the single best thing the DO's ever written.
I disagree. OMAC.
Nah.
OMAC was brilliant.
Nah.
It was awesome.
Nah. And the same thing with Metamorpho. It's the best thing Neil Gaiman ever wrote. It has fucking chutes and ladders in it. Mm-hmm. And the periodic table of elements.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There were so many fun things done with that comic. And it's like, I understand that because of the format and all that, they had the ability to do some creative things.
It looked like a newspaper. Like Sunday Comics.
But like some people chose to go a little further than others, right? Like, and I appreciate that.
I have to step away for a second. The doorbell's ringing.
Oh, no. Go answer.
Uh-oh.
It.
All right.
Don't let them in. The Dome Cities, protect yourself. Don't let nature come and get you.
There's a tree coming for him.
Walking it might. The trees are dangerous. They come in and they attack.
Kyle Baker's artwork in Hawkman is really good. But Kyle Baker's artwork in general is really good. But like,
he hadn't done that style in a while either.
No.
I wonder why.
Maybe it's more time consuming or something? I don't know.
Maybe. But I'm like, or
maybe
I know
because the work he's doing, it's harder to sell it with that style he has, with that distinct.
Maybe. It seemed to be the most mainstream his style has ever been.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not why I hate Saturn, you know. So.
No, that style really seemed to be the most mainstream I've ever seen his art be. And I wonder, you know, like I'm surprised he didn't try to, or maybe he tried and they just didn't, you know, and they just didn't hire him or whatever. But like, I think some stuff, maybe it would have been some cool little minis could have been done. You know, DC with that style. Like some sci-fi stories or something could have been done.
I feel like the thing about Wednesday Comics that makes me the saddest is that, like, there are so many good ideas and so, like, some of the people are so creative and, like, you see how good an artist some of them can be. And then you don't get to see anything quite like that in their regular books, right? And since then,
yeah.
I haven't seen anything from DC that has the same sort of, you know, flourish to it. Like the Dead Man story. Like the story is very much a Dead Man story. But like the art from Fletcher Stewart is really good. And like the layouts that he chooses to go with are super impressive. But like, you know, even in the Dead Man they did for what was that? DC Comics Presents? It wasn't
really
It was just like, you know, it was just bog standard Dead Man stuff, right?
My favorite was those Kelly Jones ones that they released in a prestige format. Those were good Dead Man stories.
I don't think I've read those.
They're really good.
Yeah, I don't think I read those.
Mike's back. Were you eaten by a tree?
I was.
You fought them?
I didn't know who it was, so I didn't answer it.
See, you good man. You fought this nature.
That's my all the time. Our people knock on the door all the time. I never go answer the door.
It's probably one of those people with the Jesus pamphlet.
I only answer for UPS.
I had to dodge one of those yesterday. I hate that. Don't bother me on a Saturday.
I got stuff.
God doesn't want you here.
Get out of here. Shoot. Don't come bothering me. I'm trying to chill.
I do think, though, overall, like, you take some of the stories that were in Wednesday's comics and just look at it for what it is, like a newspaper, it looks pretty fucking awesome. Like, it just looks great.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good now, older, like, now that the paper is, like, starting to yellow a little bit. Like, it looks really good. Some of the art looks even better. The Paul Pope stuff is just...
Which one did he do again?
Strange Adventures.
Oh, the Adam Strange. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, those colors on newsprint is really good.
It looks great. I'm not the biggest Paul Pope fan, though.
Yeah. What else is he... I don't think I've read anything...
Did Batman Batman 100?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
He's done a lot of independent stuff that I haven't read. The only reason I haven't read it because I'm not too big of a fan of his art.
Yeah,
I know that he's like critically acclaimed. It just maybe I just don't like it.
I think personally, I think the reason I like the
it worked with Adam Strange.
Strange Adventures so much is because like the formatting is weird and the story is bizarre and they were kind of going weird with it.
It's a strange adventure. That's it just fits right in.
Like some of the other stuff, it doesn't seem to like something like the tone of the writing and the art don't always mesh. So, but like the Kubert and Kubert Sergeant Rock is straight out of like the old stuff,
which is good.
Like that feel like it really feels like all they did was took like old comics and then like redid them for this.
It's like what if it's in a Sunday paper?
Yeah. It's very much Sergeant Rock. And I forgot that how weird the Flash story was. Because it was like the Flash and Iris West like being done as a combo thing.
Yeah, it started off pretty normal and then it got weird.
It got weird, weird, weird. Like there's like parallel Earth stuff and it got strange. The choice to do the Demon and Catwoman together is still a choice. Like, I just wanted to know like how that meeting went.
That didn't even flow well. Like, why? How did that happen?
Nope. It's really strange. That's why I'm kind of. That's why I want to know, like, who decided that this is what they needed to be done. Still not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really. I think if people should get their hands. I wonder what the hardcover looks like.
Oh, the hardcover has. I have it.
It's glossy paper.
It's
and, like,
glossy paper. It's huge. I mean, it's like. Used presentation and has another original story in it. I think it's the Creeper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not that one.
I don't know. Did the paper have Plastic Man? I can't remember if it's Plastic Man or the Creeper. I can't remember. It had an original in it that didn't make the cut and then they put it in.
The paper has Batman, Commandy,
Superman,
Deadman, Green Lantern,
Strange Adventures,
Metamorpho, Teen Titans, Strange Adventures, Supergirl,
Doom Patrol,
Metal Men. Nope, it had Metal Men, Wonder Woman, Sergeant Rock, Flash, Demon and Catwoman, and Hawkman.
What was that beeping?
That was the stove.
Your stove?
Yeah.
Well, that was loud. I thought it was my stove. That's how loud it was.
I thought that was the alarm for the nature
like,
coming.
Is Mark preheating the oven? I was like, what the hell?
Nature's coming to attack.
That's so crazy.
My alarm goes off.
I finally finished the Forever Evil Justice League Dark trilogy, whatever you want to call it, that went across all four books. I thought it was brilliant. I fucking loved it.
Wait, which one?
The I can't even think of the villain's name right now. It was the Justice League Dark, Constantine, Pandora, and Phantom Stranger arc for Forever Evil. The premise is that Felix Faust and Constantine's villain put this machine, and they capture all the magic entities. At least they try to capture the majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of Justice League Dark put them into this contraption so they can fend off Lex Luthor, or whatever you want to call him, the guy who says Shazam backwards. Because they know the sky's turning red, so the crime syndicate has these guys, has Felix Faust creating this thing to fight off, and I guess that's his you know how he's mystical, Alexander Luthor. He's got some Shazam force that, you know, he says Shazam backwards and he becomes a Shazam being, and that's what this whole plot is about. But it has some really interesting things, like when
Alex Luthor's in it?
Alexander mm-hmm. Luthor.
Like the redheaded dude?
Well, it is a redheaded dude, but it's not curly haired redheaded dude.
It's supposed to be reminiscent of the dude from Another Earth or whatever.
Yeah, Crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And man, this series was so good. It had one scene where Constantine goes to heaven. I thought it was freaking brilliant. It's got it would offend anybody that's real religious though, because they make the voice of God a Scottish terrier. So the comes across as a dog and talks to Constantine and everybody. But it has Zuriel, the angel, and it has the Spectre and all the other villains. They introduced this character called Nightmare Nurse. She's one of my favorites. She has this healing magical ability. She's pretty cool. And then she's got a wise ass demeanor. So I like her. And, but the interesting thing that comes out of this is, you see Constantine sacrificing himself to save others, and it's bizarre, and there's two Constantines, and you're like, what the fuck just happened? And it turns out that part of Constantine's conscience is in love with Zatanna, which kind of led us on this journey to begin with. And it was that piece of him turned into a demon, and the demon saved the day, and the real Constantine is still the asshole that we've known. But it really puts a splinter in the relationship between Zatanna and Constantine. And it sounds like Zatanna is going to be the new leader of the Justice League Dark, and that Constantine is going to – he lost the power over the House of Mystery, and Zatanna has it now. So it's going to be quite interesting. Plus, the next issue is going to be Nightmare Nurse – the backstory to her, and she's one of my favorite new characters.
They're making a TV show.
Nightmare Nurse? Not
of her. No, of Constantine.
That'll be interesting. This Constantine, I'm starting to really like this Ray Fox guy. Fawkes. Mm-hmm. He's doing Pandora, and he's doing Constantine, and DeMatteis is doing Justice League Dark and Phantom Stranger. For one, they're pretty close writers. They did a really good job of crossing over books. It flowed really well, and maybe I liked it so much because I pretty much sat down last weekend and read the beginning to end in one sitting, and it flowed good. I didn't want to put it down. And Justice League Dark 29 came out. I read it immediately because I wanted to find out what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But it is good. I like the way he writes Constantine. He's a fucking...
See, we went the way that DC wanted to do with this miniseries. Mike went one way and I went the other. I was getting all the Constantine and I was getting Justice League Dark. But when they did this long miniseries running all the way through the the blight.
Yeah.
It ran through so many books, I had to make a decision. So I stopped getting the magic books altogether.
You started getting the books that you were getting. It was probably, yeah. It was probably a good decision because it was so connected. Like if I had just read two of them,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have gotten the whole picture.
Yeah,
it would have been rough.
Yeah, but, I stuck with the Forever Evil stuff. I said, all right, all I got to do is get Forever Evil, and then I already get Justice League and Justice League America. So that's it.
And Pandora is, like, fascinating because, man, they put little Easter eggs in there. Like, this is their way out. This is their fucking way to get the old DCU back. It is. They put little subtle things in there.
Wait, do I hear Keith getting up? Is
yeah.
Keith coming?
He's excited. He's back.
Is Keith getting excited? I think Keith's nipples just got hard just now.
I don't think he'll come back for a comic. He doesn't like comics anymore.
He gets mad when you say that.
Me. Wow.
Remember, he just messaged that he wrote. He
called you a son of a bitch. He got angry.
He always calls me a son of a bitch.
God dang, he did his little pouty thing like he's been doing with Ryan.
He said, for your info, no, Ryan, he wants to punch in the throat. For your information, like, chill, he's like, for your information, I don't read comics. You know, we do a thing of what did you read? And I talk about what I read, you talk about what you read. You do that, so we, but he said he read two, three things, and then I put in, oh, that's all you read? And then he said, I read a bunch of old stuff too. I said, well, put it down, brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's gonna.
I'm reading Walking Dead, G.I. Joe, and I can't remember what the other.
You know what? Because I put up American, I read it this morning, American Vampire Second Cycle, which I loved because I like that series.
Well, Keith likes that.
Right, so he said, but he had to down Marvel. I mean, DC at the same time. He says, for someone who has given up comics, I read. And then he said, G.I. Joe, Walking Dead, and All Star Western. So I said, that's all you read. And he said, I also read some old school comics. And then he said, this is what makes Scott Snyder awesome, not some same old Batman BS.
Oh, see, there comes the hate.
See, that comes the hate.
Yeah, right, he can't just throw, like, I'm enjoying this. He has to, like, throw the bitterness.
Well, you saw the Chuck. You saw the Chuck conversation we had, right? When Chuck was in it.
Oh, Savage Chuck?
Yeah, Savage Chuck. It's like 597.
That was a long
thing. Jamal was in it.
It was getting too violent. I kind of stuck away.
Jamal was in it. No, nobody got mad.
It was like walking on eggshells there for a bit where Chuck was accusing Carlos of something, and then it was like, oh,
yeah, but they worked.
This is starting to feel uncomfortable. I'll get the fuck out of here.
No, they worked it out. It did.
I said, I'll just picture OMAC, and then I'm leaving.
It's all Keith's fault because they were doing it. He was trying to quote the joke from the time that one of the many times that Keith brings up some obscure thing, because me and Mike,
yeah, it was that fucker that goes on a raft that,
yeah, so we,
or what's his fucking name,
so we make fun of it because we're children, that's what we do. So
we me and Daryl don't want to know no fucking history. Right. We want to talk about fucking Rhodes and his force works.
Yeah, I don't come on
this shitty ass armor.
Talk about no guy on the river.
Guy who wants to fuck a cow. We don't want
to talk about that. So Chuck Rudd said it like that, and then that's when Carlos thought he was making fun of him or something. I said, which he's like poor, another person for the poor Keith.
Keith has a following, though. Like,
his following is huge.
It's like a cult. Me and you are like fucking horrible.
Oh, we're horrible. We're like the
devil spawn. We're like,
they put posters up of our faces and they cross them out.
They throw darts at fucking us. Yeah. Like,
terrible.
Like, out. Like, Keith could shit his pants and throw shit on water. And you have Alan defending him. Like, He can shit his pants if he wants to, but if Daryl throws a fart, for God forbid, God forbid, it's like, we hate you. Why are you farting?
Why are you farting all over the all over the show? Yeah. What are you doing?
Keith can do no wrong, man.
Tell us, shut up with your comic book talk. I want to hear Keith talk about a cow. And a white dude that ran away from the law. That was the white dude is wanted for stealing, that went away and married this poor woman, and trapped her in this house in poverty, and she can't leave and she can't go anywhere. We want to hear about that.
Me and Daryl, the bad guys.
Shut up, your Batman and
nobody. Robin. Nobody sticks up for us.
No, we just get left behind. We just. we are horrible people though. We do farts and stuff. And we talk about boobies and things like that, and he gets all.
We picked movies for him, and he got angry.
Oh yeah, because it had boobies in it.
I can't remember what I picked, but it had two lesbians, and I picked it for him because the cover had sexual, and he can't have that.
No,
that's can't have that in his queue.
He can't have that in his queue. He's a married man. He's
a married man.
They must think that you are just horrible husband.
I am the worst husband that ever. You're like Michelle probably thinks I'm the worst. Like my Facebook wall has all kinds of women on there.
Oh, Mike, I can like if I don't care what kind of day you're having, go on Mike's wall and you will see things that'll make you feel better. That's all I know. Just go on that wall. Go on that wall.
I am what I am. Like and Popeye said.
You will feel a whole lot better.
Like Daryl, it's the Muppets.
Oh, yeah. I hate them all the time. Now, tell Barb to stop sending me Muppet message things. Those pictures of Muppets
things
on my Facebook Messenger. I must have her reported for spam. She keeps sending me that.
I'll tell her that you'll put her on the spam alert.
I'll put her on the spam alert. Then she won't be able to post about these damn birds no more.
They say that you're sending offensive materials.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll face her sending offensive material, and then she can't put up them damn
eagle
videos no more. Eagle Cam. Why would I watch Eagle Cam when I can watch free porn? What is the purpose? I don't understand. What kind of choice is that? There's no choice. Of course I'm going for the spam for the porn. Come on now.
I finally finished the Dark Horse stuff that Shooter did, and I liked it, man. I don't know what the fuck people were bitching about.
Which Shooter stuff?
The Dark Horse, Turok, Magnus, and the Mighty Samson.
Oh, okay.
They were fucking great, especially the Magnus. The Magnus was awesome. I dug the shit out of that.
And I never finished the Turok stuff. I kind of tuned out of Turok.
The Turok one was the worst, the weakest of the bunch. But it was better than the Turok that Dynamite's doing. But the Magnus was like, man, it was addictive. It only had four issues, and so did Mighty Samson, but they were...
I know it didn't last long.
Really good. I don't know why... I know they sold for shit, and I don't know if they sold for shit because people weren't getting into it, or if nobody just gives a shit, you know? Does anybody give a shit about Solar, Magnus, and Turok anymore?
It's no. A little bit of everything.
I freaking love it. I love those characters.
Small market, and then you add to it. This wasn't the age of digital. This wasn't digital at that time. So it was a smaller market. The comic sales were really going down.
It was just badass timing.
It was. Plus, there's just not a big market for it. At, you know, like you can get a smaller market. You have to go for the niche, the ones who would, you know, you're going to get maybe the 10,000s to the 12,000s, maybe.
Magnus is such a cool character because he's raised by a robot to defeat robots, and he's like calls him father. And I like read the Golden Age one, which I really like, the Gold Key. And then I read the Dark Horse one, which was cool. It wasn't in the Golden Age one. It was like the robots had already taken over. It's like Wall-E. Like people don't give a shit. Daryl, this is Daryl's universe. He wants to just sit down, fucking be hooked up to the machine, and let the robots do the work.
Had the spaghetti feed me.
That's your world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I root for the machine. Have the robots
feed you.
Yeah.
Well, in the original series, it got to the point where the robots were in charge of everything, and the robot A1 raised Magnus like to learn to fight them even before they were in charge, in case the robots went evil, and he has to take them out. In the Dark Horse version, the people are still in charge, but the robots are being used for malicious uses. And the first one's like a slave trade. They were going after like the rich women and putting them on the slave market, and they were using them for to sell to different places in space and all that stuff. It was like a slave trade, and then Magnus had to break that up. And then it turned into like underground boxing or MMA. It was pretty awesome.
Whoa.
With robots and humans, because they would always have like a human fighter and a robot fighter, a total robot, and they would fight, but it was illegal because it was to the death. And to the robot, it didn't mean much, except there's this group of robots who are so sentient that they almost are like alive, and they're being hunted by society because they haven't developed an intelligence that made them like people. So they're being hunted down. There's so much complexity in it. It just made it freaking awesome. And the art was way better than I thought it could be. I mean, I really...
What was he, though? I don't remember. Was he part cybernetics?
No, he's all human.
So how was he that strong?
He was raised to fight. Like, he knows all the pressure points, and he's supposed to have, like, the strength of, I don't know, at least 2-3 men, but...
That's what I'm saying. Like,
basically, taught him to fight in any kind of like mixed martial arts and all this thing. So he and all the weaknesses that robots have, and he's just a badass fighter. Hmm. He doesn't have like superpowers or anything, except that he has a chip in his head or something weird. Where
I thought it was something different.
Where he can, like, if robots were making a transmission, like. They were talking to one another without speaking and stuff. He could intercept that transmission.
Right.
So he could actually hear them, like, and the robots never knew. A1 told him, you can never reveal this. I don't care if you're fucking this chick and you're in love with her. He says, you can never reveal the fact that you can hear robots because it'll come back to haunt you. And that's cool. And then Mighty Samson was really cool too. In a post-apocalyptic world, you know, Samson exists in this barbarian type state, and there's this one faction that just raids this one clan to make them into slaves, and they essentially kill his mother. But during the fight, when he's a baby, he like rips the hand off, the fingers off of the one guy that's invading, and the invading tribe is ruled by a 10-year-old girl. And then it flashed forward when the 10-year-old girl is more like an adult. But it is cool shit, man. I really dug it. It's only 4 issues. It's probably still available digitally. At least it was. It's worth it.
Yeah, so, out of all of that, Magnus is probably the one that I would like the most.
I liked Magnus the best, Solar, I think the second best, and Mighty Samson and Turok the last.
I don't think I've read any Mighty Samson. I totally must have missed that somehow.
Yeah, it was another Gold Key. I read the original Mighty Samson number 1. And that one was not nearly as good as the Gold Key Magnus Robot Fighter. That was like, it still holds up today. Like, the Russ Manning artwork and the writing, it's still really solid. I didn't feel like I was taking a time bubble back. So what else you guys got?
I know I read a bunch. What I mentioned, She-Hulk 2.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It was fun. You see She-Hulk still going through her. It's kind of the Hawkeye type of thing. It is in that vein still, but it's just different art. But it's her trying to set up her practice. She set it up in a new office, and she has no clients, and she couldn't even get an assistant right away. Like, all the assistants got nervous when she said, come in for an interview, and only one stayed. And
that one is weird, though. I got the impression the assistant did something.
Yeah, it is something weird with her.
But, don't you? Because the room was full of people.
And then they're all gone. Monkey, I think. I blame the monkey.
You blame the monkey.
I blame the monkey. There is always something where these type of indie type of books that they do, like the indie flavor of these books, they always have to have an animal in it. Like either a dog or a monkey. This one was a monkey or a bird. It's like they always throw that. It's the same formula for every time. Yeah. Hawkeye has the dog.
Animals are cute. When the comic kicks off, you can sell the stuffed version of it.
I guess so. But it's just always it's the same. It's the same formula. But you have the assistant, and then they pulled Hellcat out of mothballs because she hasn't been used in eons, and she's basically bored. Like, she has nothing to do. She has no boyfriend. She has no job. She's really lost focus, and she's trying to outdrink She-Hulk. Like, how ridiculous is that? That's like trying to outdrink Keith with beer. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't drink the same amount. And she had to even say it to her, like, you're human. Like, I
am. Bats can.
Yeah, the radiation or gamma rays, it's not going to affect me.
And it don't affect me like you. So her, as she's drunk, her thing is, let's go crime fight. Let's go out crime fighting. So everything is about AIM. Like, I swear they need to get rid of AIM, because AIM is all over New York. They're all over New York. So they break into this AIM thing, and she's drunk and she's not really paying attention. And then they find, you know, they almost kill Pat. They almost lose the fight because she has to protect Hellcat.
Well, they have those cool, like, armor robotic things that they get into, right?
Yeah, they use the armor to fight them, because they're like, if we can take them out,
But in all fairness, Hellcat is drunk. I mean, she doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
Well, I don't know why She-Hulk just didn't.
It's almost like, I hate to make this analogy, but it's almost like Daryl and Keith going out to drink, and Daryl's Hellcat, because he doesn't pass out, but he closes his eyes. He can't move. He needs a taxi to move.
Well,
he,
I ain't gonna say let's
he ain't
try
gonna
fight.
Walk. That's
see,
right.
I wouldn't do something stupid.
But Keith is like the one that says, I'm gonna crime fight, and I've got all this energy.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
He drinks and he gets more awake.
He does.
It has the opposite effect.
But she should have had some common sense in the drink. I don't know, but She-Hulk is strong. You could just take her by one hand and just we going home. Like, you just going, we're going to take your ass home.
Yeah.
We're not going to try to take out a whole thing. But at least they got to the point where now she has a detective working for her now. So now she has a new addition to her office thing. So now she has an investigator, an assistant.
That assistant's shady, though. That's going to bite her in the
ass. Yeah, that's shady. It's just something going to bite it. Yeah, it's pretty much going to bite her in the ass. So she has an assistant, the investigator, and then the monkey. And now she has a case, because they're going to... Doom's son wants... he wants asylum.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he wants asylum. And that was the last pager. So you have to wait till issue 3 to find out what the deal is. So it was cool. I mean, it was a cool little fun book. He didn't do too much of the Lost stuff like he did the first issue. Because if he did 2 issues of all that Lost stuff, I definitely would have fell asleep.
It's a good mix of humor and hijinks.
Yeah, you got it.
Which pays tribute to, like, the Burn Run and you know, mm-hmm. the slot run, and that character's always had that, except for maybe the first run. The first run tried to
be funny.
Savage She-Hulk, the very first one, yeah. tried to be a little serious, like a Hulk
and, book. Yeah, and they had to switch it up. Like, it was really dark.
But ever since that first run, it's always had a bit of humor in it.
Yeah, if there's anybody that deserves to have the, you know, that deserves to be able to keep the light with it, it's been her. She's always been that way.
Yeah, the one thing that I learned is I never knew she was knocking boots with Tony.
They did a little something, but Tony knocked boots with everybody. Like, Tony was trying to back the day.
My favorite one is Gamora, though, because...
Oh, man.
Because, no, it's almost like he was a limp dick for her. You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, Gamora's thing was take a nap, remember?
His yes. thing was,
if shit got too bad, I just go to sleep.
he could not perform on Gamora is what he couldn't do. He's used to being the stud, and he just couldn't cut the mustard, man.
Not at all. And yeah, Tony even went after when Ant-Man, Hank, and her were having problems. He went after her then.
She-Hulk has had it with you know, Wyatt Wingfoot, and she also had a relationship, I think, with Man-Wolf. What's his name?
Yeah. A little something.
John Jameson? I don't know who else she's been with.
She never really had long relationships. Wyatt Wingfoot was the longest really committed relationship she's had.
There was in the Dan Slott series where she got drunk and banged somebody. I don't remember who it was.
She even had sex with Juggernaut, I think, in the X-Men book. They did. It was in the X-Men book. Her and Juggernaut did a little something when he was being a good guy. So it was just, I don't know. It's just, it's her thing. Like, I remember her issue was, she can always change from human to Hulk, and she hated being human. She loved being the Hulk more than she did human because she felt alive. She felt more alive as she Hulk.
Hated to be her other
It's Jennifer, persona. Yeah. So that was her thing. Like, she didn't want to
change at will. She can. She just
That was always her thing. She can change at will. But that was cool. What else I read? Batman, the last Batman I 29? Yeah, I think it was 29. With the blimp?
Yeah.
That was weird. The blimp was weird.
I didn't care for it, to tell you the truth.
A little too much long. It's too long with the blimp. Like, they didn't have to go that long. I think the story is just taking a little bit. They need to wrap it up. It's time to wrap it up and get to the new stuff. I know everything is stalling to finish out.
I thought it was. I thought the big bad was Riddler, which he is, but it seems like they focused a lot on Dr. Death or whatever his name is. You know, with the bones morphing and all that stuff. It's weird.
Oh, I read a Batman book.
Which one?
One what they killed Damian in.
Batman Inc.
Yeah, it's really weird, kind of stupid.
Oh, you just read that?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll read new books. That's expensive. unless somebody gives them to me.
You read all of it, or you just read that last issue?
All of it. I read the whole shit. All
right.
So, like, they kill Damian, and then other things happen, and then like he's mad, and Talia's like, "We'll just kill the world," and then she gets shot in the head because that was dumb. And so Ra's al Ghul is mad and stuff. It's a whole lot of things going on in that book. It's a whole lot of stuff going
Isn't
on in that
Talia
book.
Isn't Talia dead? Is she dead?
Yeah, she's dead. She's dead. She died. Yeah, shot in the face.
That's the... And I don't know if this new universe has her sister like the old one did.
No mention of her.
At least she hasn't showed up yet, so...
I speaking of Damian, I read that Damian, Son of Batman, Kubert book. I thought it looked beautiful, like it, the art, the you know what I loved is the paper wasn't that glossy shit, man. It was real paper. I swear to you, a book could be like crap. Like, me and Bill will argue about this, but he loves like Ted McKeever, like the weird shit that he does for Image. I buy Ted McKeever books not for the story or the art, but for the fucking paper. I literally love the presentation, man. It makes art look so much better. It looked incredible, but man, I did research. I try to figure out, is this book canon or is it an Elseworlds or what is it? I still can't figure it out, other than it's a possible future for what happens to Damian. But it's bizarre. But they did have that. I can't remember if it was in Villains Month or whatever, the Joker issue where they had the monkey. I forget what the monkey's name was, but he appears a lot in this Damian book.
It was just all over. I read the first issue and I was out. I felt like I was reading a Neil Adams Batman story.
I'll agree with you. It was really bizarre. And it was a story of legacy because Dick was still around and he dies in the first issue.
Yeah.
And Bruce is still around, but he's retired. He's got his gray hair and he can't really do much. And he's,
well, you didn't know Dick retired because you thought it was Bruce. Like, they make you think it's Bruce.
Well, they make you think it until the second issue.
Yeah.
But it had ties to like big storylines like the Laughing Fish with Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And it had moments that I really liked, but I wouldn't like recommend it to somebody unless you like paper like I do. If you hate the glossy shit and you want to see some art pop, get this book. Like, digitally, I don't think it'd make a difference, you know?
No, I read it digitally.
It looks like what it looks like, but
yeah.
I am growing a hatred for glossy.
Isn't that more comics use glossy than anything else?
Yeah, I want them to switch, though. I'm seeing stuff, like I read our friend Drew Moss. Drew.
Oh, he ain't my friend.
The Crow. No, oh, well, he's my friend because
I'm just kidding.
Drew you in a comic book.
He kills me.
Kills you. Great. In comics.
That's what my friends do. They kill me in comics.
And I actually own a page of Daryl's head.
Yeah.
I don't have many comic book pages, but I have a Daryl page.
You have a Daryl page. It's great.
I have a Shadow page and a Daryl page. And a Tom Beelan page. Those are the only three pages I think I own.
See, I bought that Crow series. I bought it digital, so I don't know the difference. I just read it. I like
his
it.
His art looks awesome on paper. It looks great. I wish I could show you the difference. But
enjoyed it with the digital. I thought it popped pretty well to me.
I think they made a good choice by going to the paper. They made a really good choice.
It was a nice Crow story. It was a different Crow story.
It's about a boxer. About a boxer that doesn't throw a fight and gets into trouble for it.
Yeah, he should have threw the fight.
Should have just thrown the fight.
Always throw the fight.
Always
throw the fight. But the thing that he did wrong is he bet on himself.
Yeah.
What the hell?
In other words, he knew the bad guys were going to be betting against him because he was supposed to throw the fight, right?
See, he was stupid. You have to have a friend.
He should
have had one of his friends bet on him for him, you know, as a stranger, and then they wouldn't know something was up, and then collect the money and meet,
and then hire a bunch of cops,
right? Something, yeah.
And out of town, my
like
god,
because you don't think they're gonna notice that you bet on yourself. Like, you don't think that they would notice and think something's up.
It doesn't matter if you bet on yourself at all in the first place, right? Like, if you were supposed to throw the fight, and you don't throw the fight, that means they lost money, and that means you owe them money now.
Well, he had a child, and it wasn't like he was doing it on his own either.
No, but you get rid of them first.
He had a wife and child, and he said,
"Show the mobsters, dude."
He knew he would have all the money, so he was like, "Meet me out here," but it didn't work out well.
You don't tell them meet you. You gotta hide them first. You hide them before the fight, and then you do the. You know, then you have somebody get the money and then meet you at whatever. But then you have to be, it has to be somebody you can trust, because if it's somebody that's slimy, they'll just rat you out. And then you're back in the whole thing. But then not only did they kill her, they rape her. Of course they do the killing. But they rape her, and that's the Crow story. And didn't they make him watch?
Yeah.
That's what it was. They made him watch. So... Yeah, this guy, he's more even worse than the average Crow, because, you know, usually they're not fighters. They're just
regular people, artists. He's a good fighter.
Yeah, so to have a fighter that has the Crow abilities, that makes it even worse. Because that means he's really going to be coming after you and inflicting pain. And he did. He started out the gate.
I like the Crow. I've never seen a female Crow. The last series was weird because it happened in a concentration camp. It was a Jew Crow.
You would think there'd be plenty of crows with all those horrible things that happened.
Yeah,
like in war
this
and guy,
I'll tell you one thing: that Crow that was a Jew in the concentration camp just destroyed those Nazis, man.
I think they've done a Crow during the slavery, and I think they've done a
it's always based on like some kind of catastrophic event and
right
and then seeking like vengeance for their loved ones.
If it wasn't a mini, it was more like a anthology or something, I think I read years ago, where they had a bunch of different crows, like mini little mini stories.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was good. It was. I would urge people to check it out. It was a pretty good story so far. It was a pretty good story so far with that. And it'll be done. I think it's like 4 issues.
Yeah.
So it's a good. It's not long, so you can.
I wonder if he'll make an appearance on there.
He didn't tell me.
I don't know. You never know.
You never know. He didn't tell me, so I don't know. We'll see.
Only time will tell. I know you weren't in issue one.
No, I wasn't in issue one. I will be in the Star Trek one. I don't know what I will be. The Edge of the Forever. on the Edge of Forever, the J.K. Woolver one he's doing for IDW. I'm going to be on that one. I kill him if I'm not.
You have a lot of appearances.
I have to be on that.
We're supposed to be in the castle.
Weren't we, though? Weren't we on a? I was on a T-shirt.
Well, we're supposed to be. I don't know if it came out yet.
Well, didn't we? We're on before, though?
It's supposed to be. Well, we were. Keith was on. He was driving a laundry truck.
Right.
And it said DC. And then I think he took out the noise, but it was meant to be DC noise.
Right.
He was driving his van, his hospital thing.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of that we're supposed to be on.
Yeah. And then we were in Detective Fausto.
Yeah, we were in, and we were all in that one.
Yeah, we were all in that one.
We were all in that one. That was cool too. Yeah, I wanna. I told JK I wanna be in something where I can either hug Kirk or have him like do the Kirk kick. You know, when he jumps up in the air and he kicks me. I wanna be fighting with him. No, it's not gonna be Bertrand. I could be like Bertrand went through time, and he's hiding or something. I'll go with that. I'll go with a Bertrand. I travel all over Trek.
Right.
So I can go with that. I'm all for it.
All right. Any other books or TV or movies? I haven't watched shit, man.
I saw The Wolf of Wall Street yesterday, finally.
How was it? I haven't watched it. Anything.
He reminds me of everything that I hate. Leo DiCaprio. That movie, if you are, you're supposed to hate him, and he does a very good job of making you hate him right away. You hate him from the first few minutes of the movie, and then when he meets up with what's the other actor's name? He does a lot of comedies.
The guy that was in Superbad.
Jonah Hill. He is even more horrible. And you know, there's a term called.
Oh, Jonah Hill is more horrible.
Yes.
Is he his boss or is he a friend of his? No,
he's a friend. He's like the Joe Pesci to the Robert De Niro. And when you say go fuck your cousin, he really is fucking his first cousin. He married his first cousin.
Wow.
For real. And he's talking about it. He's like, and he's asking him when they first meet. He said, didn't you worry about your kids being, you know, damaged because of genetics and stuff? And he was like, well, if it happened, I would just take the little kid, I'd put him in the car, and I'd drive him somewhere far away, and I'd open the car door, and I'd say, run free.
Jesus.
Run free. That's what he said. He said, I'd tell the little kid to run free. And then he said, nah, I wouldn't really. He said, would you really do that? He said, nah, I wouldn't really do that. I'd just put him in some type of home or something. That's all. We drop him off at some type of facility for the rest of his life. And he said, and he meant that one. He was like, yeah, he meant that. And these people did drugs like, you felt high off of just watching them, how much drugs they did. Because he did drugs all day. Like, their plan was to, he would even take enemas to clear out his system so he could feel the full effect of the drugs. Jeez. For the next day. Yeah.
I don't think I want to watch it just because it's so real, I think.
It's horrible.
Like, people fucking with people's lives, you know what I mean?
That's all he did. He was like,
but when you have. I just don't like that kind of shit.
You would, yeah, you would hate it.
The real life people that this is based off of was like really upset because she thought that it was trying to glorify like whatever
it did,
and like because she's trying to like, I mean, she's whatever, I don't know her name, but she's like fighting to try to like undo some of the wrongs that her parents, her dad did and stuff like that. And she's like, I'm Mac. This movie is making these guys seem awesome. And
well, the one other thing I would say about the film is you never see the victims, because doing these schemes, there are people that lost money. You never, mm-hmm. They never show you the victims of it. You just hear the numbers and the people on the phone, like the people on the phone that he cons into getting these bad shares and stuff. Like, that's all you hear. You just hear the phone. You hear voices on the phone. And they tell you it's people and that people lost money, but you never see those people, losing their house or all that kind of stuff. And you know they did. You lost college funds and stuff because they thought that these things would be a sure bet. So that, I would say, is what's missing. Instead, you get to see the midget wrestling scenes, they paid a band to come in on Friday and they're naked almost, and they come in playing in a marching band, and while they paid this woman $10,000 to let this guy shave her entire head, and then they throw the hair up to everybody like it's their celebration of the week to do that. I mean, it's just crazy stuff they would do. Like, he would fly helicopters high and drunk. And his pilot would be there, but he crashed the helicopter. I mean, the worst thing that ever happened to him was he was trying to go from one spot to another to kind of hide his money. And he got caught in a storm. And even though the guy told him, you shouldn't go in the storm because it's a dangerous storm, he didn't listen because he wanted to get there, you know, to hide the money. And it wound up destroying the whole boat. So that, but nothing really happened. And then at the end, when he goes to prison, he goes to white collar prison. So it's really not even a punishment then. But it's accurate though, because the guy wasn't really punished in real life.
Is he still in prison?
I don't know if he's even alive anymore, but I think
one of them's dead.
Maybe they killed him in prison.
No, not in that prison.
No. No one dies in these prisons.
He went to white collar prison. My friend of mine, his wife works at one of those type of prisons where there's not even a, they don't even have a fence around the whole thing. There's just a area because these are people that are not even going to do much time. So there's no, you have to not worry about them running away because they're going to do so little time in this, and it's a safe place. That there's no way if you were to kick them out of the prison, they would come back around the front and say, hey, you left me out. I got to go in because they don't want to mess up their parole. All they tell you is that you better not leave this certain point or else you'll be shot. You know, you could be shot if you leave that certain point, and they mean it. That's it. Other than that, you play tennis. They got TV all day long. Like it's not a bad place. I mean, it's a place where you can't go where you want to go. But in terms of you had to pick one or the other,
and they probably affect the lives of more people than.
Oh, they affected. He did this for years. He affected many people's lives because they did this for years. This was through the late 80s through the 90s. He affected a lot of people. So,
is that on DVD or digital?
Yeah, it's on. I got it off of Netflix DVD. I got the that was my choice on my queue. So I got it. But yeah, he's a horrible person. It's interesting to watch it because it's crazy, but it's just to see how crazy and the journey was.
That surprises me. You wanted to watch it. Tell you the truth,
it just doesn't seem like what I know of you, Daryl.
It seems like something you wouldn't want to watch.
People made such a big deal about it, and so I said, "All right, let me watch it just to see, you know, what the hubbub is." It was okay. I like more of the gangster stuff, like Goodfellas and stuff like that is more my thing.
Yeah,
but at the end of those movies, they usually get killed or they die in prison of a disease, so they do suffer at the end. But trading and stuff, it's a rarity that they punish themselves. Anything that happens to them is they either are so old that when they go to prison, they die in prison because they're already old to begin with bad hearts and stuff like that. Or the one guy that killed himself before he went in. And then the wife, I forgot the wife's name, but she was... She was left to deal with all the lawsuits because they sued her.
Right.
But she benefited from all the money, though. So, you know, you can't act like you never knew. You knew. So something was going on. Mm-hmm. They had that much money. You knew something was up.
I think it's her daughter who was the one who was talking about, like, how fucked up everything was.
Well, she left him.
When it first came out.
Yeah, when he went to jail, the wife left him. She pretty much was like, I'm done with you. I don't want to be with you anymore. That was his second wife, not his first wife.
Right.
And, yeah, so she pretty much was like, I don't love you anymore. And left him. So I wouldn't be surprised she raised him away from... I don't think he spent that much time with the daughter anymore. I don't think... I think that happened. Tell Barb I'm gonna report her right now. She's sending me Lego stuff now. I'm gonna report her right now. Where's the spam?
Stop sending shit to Daryl.
Report as spam or abuse.
He's actually reporting you to Facebook as obscene.
She'll be locked away from Facebook forever.
You want him to block you? Is that what you want? He got him. He's getting angry.
I'm getting angry.
he's calling Facebook right now.
I'm a single man. I don't want no Legos sent to me.
Any other movies or TV? I don't think I watched shit.
Go ahead.
I got nothing.
I watched Comic Book Man.
I stopped watching that a long time ago.
Yeah, they had a CGC thing. They told some guy to go. Some guy, some broke kid, that some broke ass kid that his father had like Fantastic Four number four, like boxes of Silver Age books. And they're like, you know, these are worth quite a bit. Why don't you pay to get them CGC'd? So this kid had no money.
No.
I guess CGC's not. It made me go look to see what it cost. And they charge for the type of book it is. Like,
yep.
If it's Golden Age, they're going to raise the price on you. If it's Silver Age, they're going to raise the price on you. And you add up all that cost plus shipping, and it's, I think it's pretty substantial, especially if you're going to have a large collection.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that CCC stuff. Like, when
it's a racket.
It's a rat. When Campbell be talking about that, my eyes gloss over.
Yeah, but I think Campbell does it. So Campbell gave me a Astonishing Tales, and he broke the seal on it. But I guess when he bought it, he wanted to be guaranteed a certain grade. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he only does it for some. There's only certain books he'll do it for. He don't do it for all of his books. He'll do it for some of the books. And he's actually sold them. Like, he's actually sold some books and got good money for it, too.
Yeah, sure it's worth it if you want to make money on them.
But it's just so, it seems too time-consuming to me to be worried about what, you know, what this grade is and sending it in and all that kind of stuff. I just never had interest in that before.
I've never been a real collector or anything like that, so it's always been, like, outside of my, like, understanding. It always seems so arbitrary to me, like, what the grades would be. And then it's sealed up, and there's nothing you can do with it. It's like, eh.
Yeah.
Well, I have a grading book, and it is hard. I mean, it's a skill that is kind of hard, because you always end up with weird shit. Like, the grading guy can only have so much shit.
Yeah.
And you always end up with some obscure defect that you're like, well, what do I do? So I always, like, I've sold stuff on eBay for my brother and stuff, and I try to give it an honest grade based on my guide, right? And then I take it one down so they can't argue with it. Do you know what I mean? Just to play it safe.
Well, how do you stand to even sell books that's not even you, even if it's not yours? But
have them. If I didn't have them already, I would.
But Mike, you have a love for your printed work books, like printed comics. You have a love for them like they're children.
They are.
You cherish them like that. Like, I could see you on eBay, like tears coming out your eyes as you put it up.
Well, when you're giving your books up, it makes me sad. Like, how can you give up your children?
I'm smiling. I'm like, take them kids away. I don't want to see them no more.
Yeah, I got to say. Every time I get rid of a comic book, I feel a little bit happier on the inside because, like, it's a little more space I have in my own life.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are making me really sad now.
What? I know I'm not. I'm never gonna go back and find a book in the thing and read it. I'm not gonna do it. I know I'm not. It's been there for years. I've had these books for years. Like, and you know, I know I'm not.
Radical rodents from whatever. Like, I'm not reading that shit ever again in the rest of my damn life. Like, that can go the hell away. I got all these, like, bad indies books from the 90s. Like, shit, man. No one wants that trash.
My basement is so empty.
They printed 4 million copies of them. Like,
yeah. My basement is so empty now. It's wonderful. Like, I have room.
I see somebody
hate clutter.
Like, in the rain, and they don't have an umbrella, so I hand them, like, 5 copies of X-Men number 1.
See, I don't do that. That's
a joke.
That's for me. I can't. Don't even say that.
The
number one?
They're the one everyone has. The one that they printed 50 million copies of.
I know, but still, it's Jim Lee's X-Men number one. Don't say that.
Yeah, I have like 7.
I know, but you give it to somebody else to read. Don't do that.
They don't want to read it.
Everyone wants to read
it. Everybody wants to read it.
Everybody wants to read it.
That's a wonderful.
Comixology for a dollar.
It had Magneto. No, it's actually $1.99.
Oh, really?
I bought it.
My God.
I know. It's dog.
They just get people. One day, comics will realize they can't be out here trying to gobble people from their money, man. They got to let people buy shit for cheaper. They'll be happy.
Maybe they'll have a sale sometime down the line with that. I would love if they did, because I would buy it all. If they have a sale, the Jim Lee X-Men run.
Right. I think in general, though, like, one day they're going to come to the realization that, like, if they want to get, if they really want to break away from who they're at now, like, they really want to break out, they're going to have to start giving these things away for a dollar or a quarter, like, whole groups of books.
Why would they if they're already making a fortune?
Yeah.
Because I guess the nerd group will never really run out, but, like, it's not
good. If they weren't successful selling them at $3.99 a pop, then they would lower it.
Well, actually, the $1.99 is the sweet spot for them, yeah. I think. That's been the main thing.
I agree, but you still go to their, like, Comixology, for example, and you go look at what's popular, like, for the week, you know, like, what's the bestseller. It typically is what's on sale, like, if there's, like,
oh, yeah,
a 99-cent sale, or it's, like, what's hot, like, what came out right that week. And is out there, and people pay that $3.99 for that release. I mean, they're not waiting for it to go down. They get it right away.
They sure are. No.
Sometimes I don't wait. For a few books, I haven't. Like, if I really, really, really want it, I will hurt. Like, I will push the button, and it hurts inside a little bit. But
I've paid it for, like, issues that I'm missing. Like, you know how I always... I read so many fucking comics, but I usually read them late, like a Dark Horse Magnus, and those ended in like 2011 or 2010, yeah. And I'm just reading them now, so that just shows you how fucking behind I am. But it's I could always wait digitally, I think, till the price goes down, but I only get them when I miss an issue. And I need to read the next issue, and I know it's out. I like the fact that you can always check, too, because it's easy to miss an issue when you buy everything. And I just usually go to Comixology and say, is that latest issue out? And I might have missed it, and it's not there. Then I'm like, whoosh, I didn't miss it.
I'm fighting with myself not to buy the latest Aquaman that came out this week. Like, and just wait the 2 months. Like, it's not going to hurt me to wait. But I'm fighting. I really want to buy it right now. I really do. But I could wait and get it for $1.99, but oh, I really want to read it right now. I'll probably break down next week. I know I will, because I'll say to myself, it's only one book.
Yeah, it's only one, and then that one book becomes two. And
wait, are you paying for it twice?
What?
No, he
no the man. Once.
Daryl doesn't get paper anymore at all.
No, I'm all digital right now.
He's total digital, right? Like, you want to buy a paper copy.
I'm totally digital.
Okay.
And you're perfectly happy.
Yeah, I'm happier digital because I get more stuff. I actually read more stuff than I ever read before.
Well, the thing that's nice about it, too, is it's on demand, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you're accumulating stuff and not reading. You don't have a Regina pile. Well, you probably do because of the sales, right? I mean, that's where you're accumulating
books. Sales get me every time, but I'm still reading at least, you know, 20 to 30 books a week. So, like, I read to go to work. I read, you know, on the train. When I'm home, I'll try to knock out at least two or three issues a day.
I just fucking love comics. I could read Force Works and I'm perfectly fucking happy. Yeah. I just love the history of them. I love the paper. I love there's just too much to love. Even books that are bad, I can appreciate.
There's not a day that I don't say to myself, I don't put my hand on top of my iPad and go to read a comic. There's not a day that goes by unless I'm so exhausted, and I will fall asleep with the iPad in my hand while I'm laying in bed, you know, reading, and then that, because it's just something I love. Like, I love reading new stuff. I love reading old stuff.
Yeah,
I love reading. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. It just depends on my mood. Like, I just got some Nick Fury Shield stuff. Like, the Nick Fury versus Shield. I just bought those. And I read some of that. That's
one thing I think I like comics so much is I never read one. I guess I don't have a podcast where I have to read something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't have to keep up.
The only one that I keep up with is Valiant, but that's they're so damn good that I do it anyway, yeah.
So Comicsology only has issues 6 and 7 of Forceworks. That doesn't make any sense.
No, but I bet you if you went to the Unlimited, the Marvel Unlimited, they probably have more.
No, right. I think the deal is if it's available on Comicsology, if it's available on the Marvel app, Unlimited, it's available on Comicsology.
No, that's not true.
I thought that was the case.
No, I think Chris, because Chris has Marvel Unlimited,
uh-huh.
I think he's mentioned books that I know for a fact are not on.
That's weird, Comicsology. Though. Why would you not charge people for them and let them buy it too?
Let them buy it twice. You could either pay 99 cents or you could play it.
Well, people are not going to do the Unlimited. You know, a lot of people are not.
I would fucking. That is the one thing that would get me to convert is if they had. Like a Marvel Unlimited
mm-hmm.
for other independents and stuff, and you just had like a yearly fee or a monthly fee, depending on, you know, like if you buy a monthly, you get less discount, or if you buy a 6 month, you get a less discount, but if you buy a year's worth, then you get mm-hmm. a bigger discount. I would freaking be all. I think that would be the thing that would convert me for some things. Not for all things, but for some things.
Well, I don't like with the Unlimited app, I don't like that you can only download a certain amount onto your, you know, you can only download a certain amount at a time.
It's still not everything. I don't know what they're doing.
But see, it's still not everything.
It's not everything, and I, ugh.
It's still not everything. Well, like,
they have Forceworks on the Unlimited, Micah? Or did you check? They didn't have nothing?
No.
See, I think it really is. If they don't, if it's not made available, like the Starenko, I was looking for. I wanted when I went to what con we went to, and they had Starenko was there. I think it was
Baltimore.
Boston Baltimore. Or Baltimore. So I got really excited. Like it reminded me of Starenko stuff. So I was like, I really want some Starenko Shield stuff, and they had none. They had like one issue of it, and like, then.
But I need now, them to put all of it up.
Yeah, well, they recently started doing it.
That's how you would get, like, the only way to get me into that whatever is I need everything. Like, I need to listen to a podcast and someone's like, oh, yeah. And then there was that weird Star-Lord thing in the 70s, and I'd be like, I'm in.
I want to read that Star-Lord thing, yeah.
You know, and I'd go there, and it's there, and I don't have to worry about it, right?
Well, like, that's what happens to me. That's how I get in trouble. I hear somebody talk about it, and I go, wait a minute. I want that.
Once Star-Lord magazine is up there, you know, then we're in. But Star-Lord magazine isn't up there.
Yeah. So yeah, I would want it if they do the limited. I would only do it if they make it that you don't put a limit on how many I can download on my iPad and stuff. Like, don't limit my access to those books.
Sorry, Star-Lord magazine. Yeah,
but why would you? Do they limit it? Like, just.
I was looking at the rules of it where you can only download like 6 or
no,
something.
No, but can't you read it on the site itself? You don't even have
you
to.
You can, but it. I don't.
Oh, because you don't have. Your iPad doesn't have 3G. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you want to download 5, but you can only download 5 at once? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or are you limited to 5 a month? Or is it.
No, not a month, but you're limited at a time.
You're limited at a given time. You could only do 5.
Right. Like if I wanted to go on a trip, and I use it when I go on a trip, like I can't just download 20 issues of a run.
Do you know who can do it? The pirates.
True.
This is my like my thing in business in general. Like my general mm-hmm. business practice is that like if someone can do it for free, relatively easily. They should be able to do it from you without any problem. Like, you should be easy to get it.
I just don't know how pirates have the patience to scan shit in.
I don't like how it looks. I've seen them do it, and I don't like going. I don't like. I like the.
It depends on where you get them.
Well, I just like the comfort and that I can just buy it and I just scan and I go through the...
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah. Like, no.
I like the paradigm of Comixology. I like that you can... I like that I don't even have to store the fucking thing on my drive.
I like the fact that
I just go to the server and say, I want this issue right now. And like, I can delete it off my iPad. And then if I want to read it in 2 months, I could add it back in.
That
is fucking awesome. Like, some people are like, some people get upset that the fact that it's not on their device.
I don't want it.
I don't fucking want to deal with backing shit up. I mean, if you want to just keep my license out there so I can get it, that is the perfect thing.
I mean, there's the perpetual.
You're not filling up megabytes on my drive. I don't want that shit. I don't want I don't want my virus scan to be looking at all my PDFs and taking CPU cycles every time I download something.
Because I ain't printing shit.
I understand. No, what I'm saying is, like, I guess those people, I don't care, actually. I mean, my video, like, I don't own anything. Like, you know, when it comes to digital stuff, you don't own it, and that's kind of the way it goes, right? Like, it's a perpetual fear that the company goes out of business or decides that you don't own it anymore. You pay for it, and now you can't access it because something weird happened, right? Like, the whole Kindle thing a few years ago with certain books, like, people paid for books and then they couldn't access them anymore because of some weird licensing issue or whatever, right? Like, if it was on your device, you know, Flappy Bird or whatever that nonsense is, like, if it's on your device, you can still get it, but if you deleted it off, now you can't get it back because it's not in the store and all that kind of weird shit. Well, people are afraid of that kind of thing, but I'm just like, eh, it happens. Like, that's the world you live in, but...
Yeah,
like, I don't think Marvel's going to hose people that bought something on Comixology when Disney moves it over to their own server.
Right.
And I don't think that's the fear. I think the fear is that, like, what was the other, do you guys even remember the other company that was doing this?
Graphically.
Yeah. Thank you. Right. Like, the fear is that, like, you chose Graphically instead of Comixology, and now, like, sure, your books are technically still there somewhere, maybe, but like,
that's like to the Blu-ray and then the Sony version of it or whatever
it was the HD DVD.
Because
you still have you nerds still have an HD DVD player somewhere if you bought one.
Yeah, but yeah. How long are you going to leave that hooked up?
God, I don't know. As long as you
That's like saying I'm going to hook up my Atari just so I can play Pac-Man.
Well, we know people like that, Keith and Bill. We know Bill with phones and stuff. Like, there's people that will not update certain things.
They gotta just not do it. I can't get rid of this phone. I got a high score.
They will not do it. They refuse to upgrade certain things until it's to the point where they can't.
Sometimes regret moving to a sophisticated phone.
Oh, never for me.
When I did my flip phone, for example, I wouldn't spend as much time on Facebook or any of that shit.
Yeah, I've had to get rid. I've had to stop doing that stuff.
But do you see what I'm saying? It really does take time away from your.
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah, you'll sit there refreshing the site over and over again, where nothing has changed because it's on your phone. You're like,
oh yeah, I gotta look at that picture that Mike put up, and that girl, that pinup. I gotta see that.
The thing that amazes me is why so many people haven't just deleted me. I mean,
because they pretend.
I have to be offending some of my family and stuff, and.
Yeah, but if you don't interact, like, the way that Facebook has changed now, if you don't interact with somebody on a regular basis, they have changed the matrix of how it goes. That person doesn't really show up in your feed anymore.
Oh, does it? Is that how?
Yeah, it changed a lot of the ways it goes. And
the best feature,
which is that you can go in there and you don't have to unfriend them. You can just hide them from your feed. And so you don't have the awkwardness of being like, why aren't we friends anymore?
That's the other thing you could do.
I have 1,000 people on the thing. Like, there are people on there that every now and then I'll see a name, and I'm like, I have no idea who that is.
I bet Keith and Michelle have done that to me.
They can't.
Well, if they did, they wouldn't like the other stuff. Like, I'll put a picture of Harley, Michelle will like it. So either she... The other way you could do it is, like, filter me out and then go visit my page every other day or whatever.
Well, you just ignore. Like, it's not a big deal. It's not like the feed, like, unless you're going to sit there and scream through every single person that's in your news feed. It's just easy to ignore. Because I get tired of, you see so many, like, memes and stuff. I get so tired of memes. You ignore it. Like, I'll slide past ones, those.
Like, 9 times in a row.
It's the same ones every time. Slow clap this or whatever. It's
just can't help this myself when I see a beautiful woman.
You don't have to. It's your Facebook. I want her
on my fucking...
No one cares.
It's your Facebook.
Because when I go to my wall and I see all those vintage snapshots of cave women, I'm very happy.
It's your Facebook, man. You're a grown man.
Well, I'm a grown-ass man.
Grown-ass man. It's your Facebook. If you want titties all in your Facebook, you could do that, too, if you want it. People just have to unfollow. Just don't follow. Ignore. Either unfriend, unfollow, or just hide. That's it.
Unfollow. That way you don't have to, like, get the awkwardness of not being friends anymore.
Yeah.
It's just the best.
Well, I know that's happened in our communities where... friends of unfriended friends, and I don't think it's personal. I think political stuff will definitely.
Or sometimes
I've only unfriended 2 people in my maybe 3 people in my entire history, and it usually has to do with religion or politics.
I don't unfriend anybody because, like I said, I just don't want to deal with it, but I unfollow everyone just because I get bored of their posts. Like, I just get tired of seeing
shit. Yeah, like, you don't want to see, like, I know you, and you probably don't want to see all these...
I don't know if I've unfollowed you or not.
Vintage women on your wall.
I don't even know. I know I see Barbs. I know I don't see Keith and Michelle, I don't think, anymore.
They still post, but they don't post a lot.
That got weird. It got weird for a while.
Keith will Twitter, but he mostly does beer.
Yeah, Michelle does the health stuff.
Yeah.
The health stuff.
I basically almost stopped Twitter because my account got hacked that one time or something weird. I don't even know what happened.
Twitter's a little different, though, and I wish Facebook would have this, is Twitter has lists.
Right.
And I like, follow too many fucking people. but they're – I'm serious. I got, like, 600 people plus I follow.
God.
And what I end up
doing – I'm at, like, 200, and I cannot handle it.
There's, like, 44 people out of those 600 that I'm really interested in reading their posts.
Uh-huh.
Put them in the list, and – I don't follow Twitter too much unless somebody tweets me, like, at Mike Myers Brunch response. But at the end of the day, when I come home from a hard day as a work, I like to at least look at those 44 posts to see what's going on, and then I'm done.
Right. I know I spam. I mean, I'm pretty sure I spam because I have to advertise shows and stuff, podcasts and stuff, or news and stuff. I'm pretty sure people go, I don't want to see that fucking shit about no fucking Batman again. I'm pretty sure people go, fuck that guy. I don't care about that. Like, I'm pretty sure we all do it.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I get tired of seeing the same kid over and over again. I know your baby is beautiful, but after the 80th picture of your baby... I'm kind of.
It ain't
done.
My baby, though. I don't care.
It ain't my baby, you know. Like, but you are feel free to do your, you know, to show your baby. I don't have to watch it. I don't have to look at it. But
that's the thing. Like, sometimes, like, I want to unfollow somebody on Twitter, but not because, like, they said anything that I'm mad about. I just, like, everything you post is boring.
So, Mark, if anybody listens to this show and you want to friend me, I'm not offended.
Absolutely,
I am totally not offended. We're still friends. If you don't want to see any titties on your wall, well, actually, you can't post titties. But
you can't post titties.
You don't want to see any 70s and
60s
vintage women. I understand. I totally fucking understand. I like that on my wall. When I go visit my wall and see the wonderful pics that I put in comic books, then that's the thing, is you like what you like.
I like big boobies, and I cannot lie. So So I like to see it. I like the female form. So I like to see it. I'm not that.
I don't post too much on the weekdays. It's all on the weekends.
That's because you work.
Yeah.
That's because you're working. You ain't got time to do all that.
That's why I've stopped with everything.
You got no time for all that. But only times I would ready to unfollow is if they're like an asshole about something. Like, I'm not religious, but I don't like when someone posts something
to talk
that's anti-religious.
Or to talk right. down to you.
Yeah, like I don't want to see that. That when you start really getting out of control, just like I don't want religious people start posting something that is just putting down people that are not religious
or
vice versa. I don't like to see that. Or if you're a Republican, I don't want to hear about Democrats destroyed your life. If you're a Democrat, I don't want to hear all day.
I fucking love Quantum and Woody. They had that issue with Republicans and Democrats, and Quantum is a fucking Republican, and Woody's on the total other side. And it did such a good job of making fun of both. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, when we were doing our Valiant favorites, I hadn't read the last three Quantums and Woody. I want to change my answer because Quantum and Woody is my favorite.
You can't until we get up to that point. Well, that's why I always go by what we read.
It's usually what's my favorite, but I swear to you, Quantum and Woody, I fucking laugh out loud at a couple panels. I mean, every issue has something there to make me laugh. Like,
that's funny. And you know, another book that makes me laugh every time I read it also is Todd the Ugliest Kid on Earth. Another one that's funny too.
That one does too. But it's that one's more of a man. That's a twisted book. I mean,
it is, and I'm a twisted person. So
the art in there is phenomenal, though. So damn good.
You know what? I'm offended by people that post how much you're supposed to love cute stuff. I hate it. Like when you say you're supposed to love Legos, and then something wrong if you don't love Legos. Oh, I hate that stuff.
Like the Muppets, you hate it.
You're supposed to love the Muppets. If you don't love the Muppets, it's insane or something. I just want to throw up on that. People do that. That gets on my goddamn nerves.
Somebody that sends you Muppet tweets.
Oh, I hate that all the time. And when Facebook suspends her account and she can't post anymore,
your account should be suspended pretty soon. But it's not my fault.
I'm going to tell Facebook to establish dominance over her account and stop her from bullying my account with that damn cute stuff. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Gets on my damn nerves. Hate it. Hate all that cutesy stuff. I don't want to watch the Legos. I don't understand. I don't get it.
The only movie I watched was The Muppets.
Well, I'm not. I don't want to talk about it.
We can talk about it in detail.
I'm glad it failed at the box office.
How was it, Mike?
Did you like the first one, Micah?
Yes.
I think then you'll like this one more.
You're lying.
It's better than the first one.
I had to remember. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I think it's better than the first one. It's got Danny Trejo. It's got to be better.
I only want to see it if Machete cuts their heads off. That's the only way I want to see it.
You don't want to see Machete do a musical.
No, I want to see Machete cutting off the brain, cutting off the heads of all the puppets. That's what I want to see.
It does have a villain that likes to blow Muppets up.
Don't say that, and then I want to see it, and then it's some silly shit, and then at the end he's like, I'm sorry.
I'll tell you right now, you'd hate it.
I'm sorry. I really love everybody. I'm sorry. And then they sing a goddamn silly song for an hour.
I liked it, but I wouldn't recommend it to people that don't like Muppets.
Exactly. Those are the crazy people that
just
like
the first. I am like a fan of the Muppets, but I think my favorite Muppets are the TV show, the original. Like, I think
it's really good.
I think their skits and stuff in the original were really good, whereas the movies, I'm completely happy with the Muppets being a half hour and getting the skits that I do, rather than it being trying to be put into a plot. You know what I mean?
I liked it when they were doing. I mean, Muppets Take Manhattan is actually really good, and the Great Muppet Caper is good as well.
I don't know. I've seen the Muppet Caper. I remember.
Oh, it's Take Manhattan,
but
it's good. It's good. It's old. I'm not sure how well it holds up. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I like the Muppet Show. The Muppet Show was really good. There's a lot of stuff in the Muppet Show that's really funny, and funny in ways that I did not understand as a kid that I understand better now. Like, there are jokes that reference like shit that like no one under the age of like 65 should understand half of those jokes right now. Like, really vaudeville stuff. It's so strange. And that was a real TV show. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's no way a kid's show nowadays is a show.
Well, when I was a kid, I didn't get all of the jokes, but I got most of them. Do you know what I mean?
It was funny. No, like, they were overtly funny, but there was a lot of stuff going on, like the history, like a lot of they're lampooning like the history of like this particular type of musical theater and the variety show thing.
Yeah,
I just didn't understand.
I think Daryl would like those two guys, the old two old men,
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah.
Those are the only decent ones.
Well, I think you'd like them because they don't like anything that they watch of the Muppets.
Nope.
Exactly.
Their whole point, they're like the Gary Arkel of of DC Noise. He hates DC Noise, but he still listens to it.
Every week.
It's like Statler and Waldorf.
It sounds about right. It's true.
It's weird when we do a DC Noise without Keith, we get like a lot of negative stuff. There's a few people that all say, "Hey, I really enjoyed you talk some comics."
They hate talking comics. We have broken people, I think, because remember in the beginning, we used to get all these messages of, "When are y'all going to talk about comic books?"
Yeah, and now they just want to talk, like Keith.
Now they want to talk about Chiggers.
When are you going to have the next Chigger episode?
You want to talk about Chiggers.
I want to talk about handprints on a fucking wall. Come back. There you are. I lost you guys for a split second.
Oh, shoot. Oh, I don't even know what happened.
It got real quiet. I was like, oh, man.
No, I can tell. I think it's on my end.
I didn't even know it stopped.
So, anything else you guys want to mention? Any food? What are you going to eat, Daryl?
I'm going to eat some barbecue chicken and some macaroni and cheese.
That sounds good. Homemade or...
Yeah.
I made macaroni and cheese last week. I baked it. It was really fancy. It had white cheddar and Gruyere. Yeah, it was shells.
That is awesome that you mentioned that, because we had mac and cheese Barb made.
Oh, yeah.
Did she send you a picture of her mac and cheese? I don't know.
I got the macaroni and cheese.
It was really, really good, but she made enough to feed like a family of 20, because
you should have sent it to me.
It was like a TJ rep recipe, you know, and she like tripled it or doubled it, or she doubled it, and it was a lot of mac and cheese. And usually, like, if there's mac and cheese, there's no leftovers, man. I mean, I will eat every bit of that mac and cheese.
Yeah, I don't understand people with this leftover stuff. I eat it all.
Oh, you are full of crap. Because I remember eating with you and you taking spaghetti home. And you said, I'll eat this later.
There's nothing wrong with eating it later as long as I eat it.
But that's leftovers, man.
No, I'm talking about the next day and the next day.
Oh, you mean eating them repeatedly?
Yeah, it doesn't last
two times is what you're saying.
No, it doesn't last two times.
Well, for us, it doesn't usually either. But it was damn good mac and cheese. It was really, really good.
We do that. I don't know about other people. That's me and you, Mike. We do that.
Yeah, there's.
I'm ready to eat it that day, that night. If we get home that night, I'm thinking about it. Like, it's still sitting there.
I made like 4 quarts of macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
a lot of mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese is good. I mean, it's really good.
Well, I use shells. I didn't use macaroni noodles.
So I don't like the shells.
They hold the cheese. They hold more cheese, man.
You know what I've been dying to do is make a really good spaghetti sandwich. And in other words, I want to have like meatballs in that sandwich, but the outer crust, I want it to be garlic bread, like, and just eat it like a sandwich. I think that would be so good because I love garlic bread. Love it.
Love it, love it.
Yeah. Garlic bread is really good.
I love it, love it.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it.
I'm getting hungry right now.
Well, we should end this and eat.
Yeah,
we should. Oh, let me do one for Bill. I like to eat grass. I had a grass sandwich.
I wonder what he's going to eat on vacation. Some beet sandwiches? That'll be awesome.
He's going to have some dust sandwiches.
Dust.
Because he gets full too quickly, so he'll have some dust sandwiches.
Oh, eat a can of fish.
That reminds me of the episode of Portlandia where, like, God, I can't remember. I think it was Steve Buscemi or whatever showed up and... He was like, I went to this vegan cupcake shop, and I got a cupcake, and it tasted like sand. So I asked what they put in the cupcake, and you know what they told me?
Sand.
Sand. I think I died. I think the episode almost killed me. So
that is Greek brunch when Mike is not on. I talk about food. That is you too. I'm sitting there going, what?
That's why those fools are skinny.
Yeah,
because they eat dirt. I mean it.
Nothing.
I have to have some meat, some real food.
Like I posted that thing.
If I was eating sand, I'd be skinny too because I don't want to eat it.
If it ain't no meat in it, it's a snack. What did I post? I said if it ain't no meat, it's a snack.
It's a snack.
Keith got the nerve to shake his head at that one.
Yeah,
and he know damn well he like us. He know damn well he is just like us. But Shell must have been watching him. Shake your head to that. You better not say like.
I think if you put like a plate of meat and grass in front of him and there's nobody watching, he'll choose the plate of meat.
You're damn right he would. You damn right he would. He's a meat eater, damn it. He ain't no sand either. He a meat eater.
He's no herbivore.
Shoot. Yeah, I said he'd get mad at us because we tell the truth. We tell the truth. He know he want to eat them burgers when we go eat burgers and stuff. He know he do. He know he don't want to go to no damn vegan place. He just can't say it. He just can't say it. Scared.
I should eat better. It just doesn't taste good, man.
I should too, but damn it, you're right. It don't taste better.
And that's why I think people lose weight is because they eat shit. And if you eat enough shit, it doesn't taste good, so you don't want it as much.
Yeah, it's true. If food tasted like crap, if I ate grass and shit, I wouldn't want to eat a lot.
Because you're like, plus, I'll eat enough to survive.
It's
like dirt. I don't want it.
I mean, there's actually a credible school of thought that says if you remove any restrictions from your diet, if you stop trying to eat healthy, if you just eat whatever you want to eat whenever you want to eat it, and like this is involving being removed from like social pressures and all this kind of stuff, that over time your body will regulate itself to only sitting cravings to things when it actually needs to eat food, right? So like you may want like 9,000 cheeseburgers, but after eating 9,000 cheeseburgers in a row, your body will say, how about you eat 2 this time? And then you'll be content to eat those 2. And apparently this sort of thing works, but it only works in vacuums because once you get out into society and there's like different sort of food pressures on people, it's hard to maintain the sort of mental space required for it.
Can you text it to Barb? I'll start right now eating 9,000 cheeseburgers.
Shit, I got excited just now. I really got it.
Eat 9,000 and then reduce it to 2. I like this diet. It's going to work.
My problem is I keep eating them burgers. I don't know if I'll stop after 9,000. I think I'd still keep going.
Because it was based on chocolate, the original.
Killing yourself. Micah said it would work.
At my funeral, Micah said it would work.
My bad. I goofed.
It's evidence right now.
Just recording is evidence of what happened.
Well, no, because there's a thing. It was based on chocolate. The original was based on chocolate cake, right? Where because chocolate cake is considered to be bad, you cannot eat chocolate cake the way you want to. But if you remove the societal thing that says chocolate cake is bad, after your third chocolate cake in a row, you're like, you know what? Fuck chocolate cake. I'll eat something else. And after the ability to do whatever you want to, your body's like, well, those nutrients aren't the nutrients that I actually want or need. And so I don't want them. And when you don't feel like you can't do, someone's telling you not to do something, the imperative to do it kind of goes away to a certain degree, right? So you just do whatever you want to whenever you want to. And then, it's not as big a deal to you anymore, right? Certain people stop binge drinking once they turn 21 because now it's not a thing for them to do anymore. Because now, they don't, it's okay for them to do it. And so the appeal is not as strong as it is. It doesn't work for everybody, but it's a thing. I've read the science. So basically, eat whatever you want all the time.
See, now you're talking some sense. So Bill must have some evil influence over you.
It's Bill's fault. It's all Bill's fault. I know now. It is. It's all Bill's fault.
That guy's eating some grass right now. I just know it.
Oh, he's loving it. He's like, I'm eating my sand sandwich, and it tastes so good. And then he ends everything with, it tastes so good. No, it don't.
Just to him.
No, it don't. You're lying. You just don't have an appetite because you're small. That's what it is.
I'm not sure how that works. That's not how it works.
You just don't have an appetite because you're small. You haven't eaten good food in so long that it doesn't matter to you.
You don't know what it tastes like anyway.
Now you just eat to survive. You don't care about anything else. You just eat it for survival, like on an island or something. Food is a forgotten thing for you. It doesn't matter about it tastes good or not. That's the thing. I know the trick. I know what's going on.
There you go. Well, this has been Geek Brunch episode something and something. Maybe it's 202? 202.
Yeah, let's say 202.
Yeah, we'll say 202. And we're located on geekbrunchpodcast.com. We have a Facebook page, Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. We also are on iTunes. You can subscribe and then leave a review. We'd really like that. And Daryl, you want to give some information?
You can follow me on Twitter and hear and look at all my nonsense on Twitter and selfies at TheVoice123. And that's it.
Taylor Network
on Facebook. You can go to Taylor Network of Podcast Facebook group where we have a lot of discussions that are fun and stuff. So you can go there.
And we do the Valiant podcast and DC Noise together.
Yes, we do. We totally do.
Yeah. And we try to get Keith on. We do. We really do.
Every time. You don't know what we go through trying to get him on.
Yeah. Every show. And then we're the bad guys for not having him on.
And then you people punish us anyway.
Yeah. And Micah is at @do_what, but he said he doesn't check his Twitters too much.
No, I'm so busy. I rarely go there anymore. But I'm gonna go maybe once the school thing slows down some, possibly.
Any information on your?
Not yet.
Work? Not yet.
Nope. They mailed it off to Japan, so we got to see what happens.
And let's see. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch, and we're Mike. And Bill is at DBM00. You should tweet him right now and ask him how he's enjoying his sand sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And let's see, Mike, Micah, and Bill at comicbooknoise.com. Those are our emails. And have a good one. We're going to go eat now.
Yep.
Damn right.
Have a good one. Thanks for being on, Daryl.
Enjoy myself.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Yeah.